Hang on. You hold that thought. You hold that thought, because that's really nice, and I know she'd appreciate that. But before I introduce Danny, I've got a couple of gentlemen that I want you to meet first. These gentlemen are not only amazing, hugely successful businessmen, but they are also godly leaders of their family, husbands, fathers, men of integrity and character. You are going to want to take notes on what these guys have to say. So please give your full attention and a huge welcome to Zakhar Kesselman and Patrick Clunan.
Hello, hello, DJC family. I hope you guys are doing awesome today. Man, I feel so free after last night. I got so much forgiveness to ask, but I feel so good, man. My friend Patrick did not get a note, obviously, in the morning that I'm wearing blue shirt. But it's okay, we'll rock it out.
It's a bromance.
Well,
says my son.
Some house cleaning rules, as my friend Jeff said. Welcome back. Sit down to your seats. We want to say welcome to those viewing abroad. Yes. Canada. Say hello to Canada. Latvia. Привет, Латвия! Мы вас любим! UK. Australia. And New Zealand. The seat you have right now is going to be your seat for the day. If you have a seat that is open next to you, please raise your hand so we can fill those seats in. I'm sure my friend Patrick wants to share some housekeeping rules.
You know this, but there's no audio, video recording permitted during the event. However, we are professionally recording the event, and those who have an insider or pro membership will have an MP3 qualified sticker on your name badge. So we are excited to be here. Are you guys excited? My name is Patrick Clunan, and this is and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. OH! Oh, wait! All right. And this is?
Zakhar Kesselman. And I am from Cleveland, Ohio. And this is an Ohio accent. Yeah. I'm joking. I'm originally from Ukraine. Thank you. I'm married to a beautiful, beautiful woman. Her name is Laura. We have two amazing children, Tatiana, who is 14, and Zoya, who is 9. My first event was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, spring of 2011. I came to that event because prior to that event, I met Patrick Clunan at the gym. He came up to me and he said, "Dude, you're ripped."
Not true.
You will know later on today my personality type, but I really like this guy.
And by the way, the person who said, I like your shoes, she was talking about me.
Nice.
You can't handle that yet.
Yeah, I lost my track of thoughts. Okay, so Patrick also formed me in the gym, which was very different than any other guy conversation I had. I felt the guy cared about me. He made me feel special. We formed a friendship. I'm Ukrainian, so I'm very weary of people. I like to watch him. I'm very weary of scammers. I want to know if a person is a real deal. So what I did is I watched and studied Patrick. And here's what I saw. I saw a man full of integrity, the way he does business. I saw a man that is in love with his wife, Carla. If you meet 5 of his children, they are amazing. They're fun to be around. They're respectful. They're honorable. You could see that Carla and Pat have invested in them. You can see that there was a lot of intention in the way they groomed their children. You can also see how much they cared about their community. Patrick and Carla spend, I don't even know how many hours, and for many, many years, they held classes together in their home, in school, classes on grooming the next generation for success, classes on jams. And you have to understand, Patrick is a very, very successful, probably the best landscape architect in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm in construction industry myself, and I can tell you, his work is second to none. He's very talented. His work has been featured in all landscape magazines, and it's been awarded multiple times in Ohio. Go check out his Facebook just to get an idea what this guy does. So you know what? And he did not just invest into his own children. He did not just care about his own children, but he cared about the children in the community. He cared about my children. He was so intentional. He spent so much time doing it. So what I saw, I did not know it back then. I did not know what the name is, what it's called. But I know now that what I saw a man with a vision. A man with a vision for his spiritual life, for his marriage, for his parenting, and for people around him. Another thing I saw is Patrick was the only one person that I knew that was completely out of debt. Actually, within a couple of months after we met, he wrote his last check for his mortgage. And it was so different than any other of my friends, relatives, myself, including my pastor, that we were all in debt, all struggling. So because of this credibility, because I saw results in his life, and I'm like, I want what this guy wants. When he invited me to Danny's event, I will tell you honestly, when he first gave me Danny's CD, Grooming the Next Generation for Success, I'm like, I don't like this girl. I was full of ego, full of pride. I'm like, this girl is screaming at me. She's making me feel bad. I just don't like her. But because I saw the results in this man's life and I saw how real it is, I was sold. So.
Awesome. Well, listen, one of the reasons, I saw a lot in Zahar when when I first met him and got to know him a little bit. And, of course, I like to share what Danny has because there's results. It's all results-driven. So if you came here today wondering, you know, like, really, what am I doing here? Or you were dragged here. Just let me tell you, listen to these stories because it's real. And, you know, some people say, oh, man, are you a Danny groupie? I'm like, no, I'm a groupie of results, though.
And we're not paid to be here. And everybody here is a real story.
Absolutely. And so let me just tell you Zahar's story. So basically, I met him, and when he built this big house, and then I actually did a design for him on the outside, and I watched him spend a ton of money. And after I brought him to Danny, I think he got convicted. Most people don't have to get convicted to this level, but you know what he did? He sold his house to get out of debt. He's paid off $640,000 in debt in 2 years. In 2 years. Not only this, but guess what he did with his beautiful wife and two children? They obviously are closer together from a marriage standpoint, and their kids. He loves, and they love him now. His confession always is, I used to pound on my kids as being a ruby and an emerald, and he had some sapphires, and so it was difficult. That has all changed. But what I saw him do is he sold that big ego house, and he actually humbled himself as a ruby and emerald, and you're about to find out what that means. And he moved into a 900-square-foot apartment. Wow. Who does that? Man. Who does that? That's proof in the pudding right there. So he actually moved into a 900-square-foot apartment, was in there about 9 or 10 months, found a small townhouse, wasn't that big either, but it was a little bit nicer, and he lived in there for 2 or 3 years. And I watched him then. No, it was time for him to get a yard and get a house, and he has a great business, run the business out of his house. He dragged me around to 4 or 5 different lots over a year and a half, you know, because I saw the heart of God in this man wanting to do what was right and didn't want to make a mistake and didn't take a movement until he had the peace of God. And he was wise that he sought the multitude of counsel, people he trusted. And he had more eyes than his own because we, in our own, left to ourselves, we're going to get excited about, oh, let's go do this, and we buy this, and we buy that, and we sell this, you know. But he didn't do that. He was wise in that. And then I saw them land with a great property, great house, great design. His entire company is working out of there. So it's just made so much more sense at this point of his life and the career, and debt-free. So, I mean, you just give it up for that. All right. So that being said, there are a lot of results. If you want results here, you just have to hit it hard, and you just gotta listen. You gotta take this skill set that you're about to learn here in the next few hours, and you gotta implement it. And you will be changed by the end of today, or even by lunch, if you just get all in. Who wants to be all in this morning? Who wants change? You understand that you are a part of a mission. You are an army that is going to go throughout the world, all throughout the world, and take a message of real results to people. Stop playing church. Stop playing the game. Stop playing whatever you're doing. Just the run and the rat race. Get real change and add a skill step. Slow down your life enough. That's why it's great to be here, to learn these skills and then implement them. And that is the biggest thing I saw in Zahar. I'm a ruby sapphire. He's a ruby emerald. And I have watched him and been challenged by him, because every single thing that he has learned in here, he has begun to implement immediately. And he's been challenging me and challenging others. And we have a message to bring, because I'm telling you, I don't know where anybody else can go to get the kind of skill set that you're going to receive by being a part of this entire movement, if you will. Do you believe me? With that being said, I have the honor and the privilege to bring up our one and only Danny Johnson. Woo!
You guys a hand. They did awesome. All right. Let's sit down, please. How incredible. Okay, so wait, let's add it up. So Patrick, how much debt have you paid off?
$300,000.
$300,000, Zahar? So it's $1 million worth of debt between two men. Right? One that came first and then brought his community. Like, he's brought his community. He brought that. He's a contractor, meaning he does landscape, he does contract work, so they work together. And so Patrick had no, like, what benefit did he have by bringing a vendor to the event with him, other than saving a family?
Thank God he cared for me.
Thank God he did care for you, which is amazing. And Zahar, you guys have been coming for how long? 2011. Over 20 events. They've been to over 20 events. That's 5 years? No, 2011. 6 years. 6 years. 2008?
10 years.
Wow. 2007. They've been coming for 10 years. You have brought hundreds and hundreds of people through these doors from his community, from his church, from his work life, from his kids' school. He's been bringing people here for a really long time, and you have to ask yourself, like, and he's a contractor, he's a landscape architect. What benefit does he have for doing that? You have to think about that. And by the way, Zahar is not the only story. I don't know if you've ever added up how much debt has been paid off because of your example and your influence in your church and in the kids' school and in your community, in your business life. I don't even know if you can possibly add up the amount of debt. When you look at these two guys, it's $1 million worth of debt just between two of them.
Wow.
Just between the two of them. That's so powerful. I'm so very grateful for men like you in my life. I really am. I'm so grateful for your guys' influence, your love for your wives, your children, your heart to do it right. You know what I mean? To be debt-free, to accumulate wealth, to set that example for your children. It's really an amazing, amazing thing. And it's a very rare thing in today's world. Fathers who are engaged, Zahar, for your humility up here, sharing how you were as a father, and then the transformation that has happened with you and your daughters, not passing down the same form of parenting that was given to you. It's incredible, you know, that you didn't settle for less and just say, like a lot of men and women do, like, this is how I am. This is the way I am. I'm just like my dad, or I'm just, you know, this is how it is. That's how so many people live their life. And you chose not to live your life like that, but instead in humility and growth. The thing also that I see with leaders, oh man, just even this past week, talking with a principal of a school who's just dry, just dry. You know, when you're in leadership, whether you're leading three people that you are responsible for paying payroll for, or you're in charge of 300 students, either way, leaders get dry. We're supposed to be inspiring people, leading and encouraging people, and pulling the best out of people, but who's doing that for the leader?
Right?
Right? Who's doing that for the leader? So, and there are people that are doing it, but most leaders will not plug into things like that. They just won't. They're too busy. They don't think that they need it. They're so focused on building, 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 and forgetting that they've got to take time out to come to something like this that refreshes them, that reminds them of what they already know. Because as you're using what you know, you forget something. Some things begin to leak out of you, and you're all of a sudden you're way off track, and you don't even realize that you're off track. And so it's always important for people in leadership to come to a place where they're going to be refreshed and reminded. They're going to be re-inspired. They're going to be re-stimulated. They're going to see the places where, oh, crap, I've taken the ship a little bit too much in that direction and need to get back here on track. And it's always the simplest things that bring us right back to the right track. Because none of what we're talking about comes natural. Nothing. None of it. What comes natural? We want to be mean to people when we're frustrated, right? We don't want to have patience. Does anybody deal with that? You don't want to have patience every day. You don't want to love the unlovable, right? You just want to fire everybody. You do. You just want to hit them over the head and say, when are you going to freaking get it? Like, how many times do I have to tell you? How many of you deal with this? Right? So that's not the greatest form of leadership that's out there. I mean, if you want to be Hitler, go for it. But I don't think that you want his outcome or his legacy. I don't think you want his legacy, but that's what we will all go towards. Control, dominance, and leading by fear. You know, people being afraid of you and afraid of screwing up and afraid of getting fired and all that kind of stuff, which some of that is sort of healthy, meaning if it's in respect, but not, and forget, I'm not going to even go there, but anyway, nonetheless, I'm still reeling over last night.
Yes.
I'm still just like reeling over everything that took place in here last night, the kind of courage that last night took for everybody, for all of us to work together on the things that we did was absolutely profound. Absolutely profound. I feel so very blessed to have shared that night with you. And it was amazing when these two were up here talking. I'm like, that's a different room of people. Yesterday, when Jeff Usner was up here, I thought he was talking to himself. It was so freaking quiet. And this morning, when these two are up here, y'all are loud. Like, there they are. They're alive. Something shifted. There is a perspective shift that happened for them. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about a very favorite topic around here. And by the way, how many of you felt like you had some major things moving inside of you last night? You got spiritually fed last night. You had some, you know, spiritual eyes opened up last night. If that kind of teaching was something that was helpful and beneficial for you, we have an entire line of spiritual equipping. That's what it's called, spiritual equipping in the marketplace. So the whole spiritual equipping line, I mean, we're talking hours upon hours upon hours, message after message, and it's always going to come from the zone of money. There's 2,500 scriptures in the Bible that talk about money. There's about 10 that the church usually talks about, and that's about it, and usually is all around giving, or you're going to hell. The best success book ever written has a whole lot more to say about money. In fact, it teaches you how to accumulate wealth very strategically and very powerfully. So Spirit-Driven Success 1 and 2, those are two volumes, and then the entire spiritual equipping series. So it's always going to be about money and about leadership, about relationships, and about you, like moving the junk out of your way, right? The stuff that we've accumulated through the years, it's all just crowded in on our hearts and our minds and our soul, moving that crap out of the way, kind of like what happened last night. And how many of you were shocked with what you saw last night? Like, in your, like, you were not expecting what happened last night. Well, that's exactly how every single one of those teachings will be for you in there, where you will be so spiritually fed in the very place in which you need it, especially with being people that have families, people that are in some kind of career or business, or one of the partners of the family is in a business or a career. And of course, the finances, accumulating wealth little by little, biblically, non-biblically. To be honest with you, the Bible is the first to write about creating wealth. It is. And all the financial laws were written right there. And so all the millionaires and billionaires, whether or not they follow, let's say, God, they follow the principles. Every millionaire and billionaire has followed the principles that are inside that book for creating wealth. So take the religious part off of it and just look at it as a financial manual. You will learn so much in there. And so basically, I've highlighted all of those scriptures and have taught on those scriptures and helped to break through the poverty mentality that all of us were given. If we were raised in the 98%, which how many of you were? If you were raised in the 98%, you were given a poverty mentality. Our country, the United States of America, has a strong poverty mentality, believe it or not. Chasing fantasies, buying lottery tickets, all that is a poverty mentality. Trying to do as little as possible to get the most out of something, poverty mentality. Spending all you make, poverty mentality. That is the USA currently right now. Wasn't that way 60 years ago. It is so that way today. So anyway, so breaking through all of those mindsets, making money is spiritual warfare. And that's exactly what we talk about throughout all of the spiritual equipping series. So if you felt fed last night, you want more of that. Is there anybody that wants more of that kind of teaching that you feel applies to you? Then get a hold of the spiritual equipping series. Just get the entire thing. You can listen to one a day for a month. I have a client who today is a multimillionaire. He was making $40,000 a year when he first started here. He had 8 children, totally broke, major amount of debt, and all he did was listen to Spirit-Driven Success for a solid year. That's the only thing he focused on was that. And, well, the guy has 5 companies today. Yeah, he's employing a lot of people, making millions. He's been coming here for 10 years also. He's been here for 10 years also, Stuart Lynn. Okay, so let's get right into it. We're going to show you how right now, how to increase your value even more in the marketplace. You're going to learn how to motivate yourself and others. You're going to use this particular communication skill set to be able to recruit better talent. You're going to be able to recruit better customers and be able to build a viral client base, which is what everybody wants. Everyone wants a viral client base, right? What does a viral client base mean? They're like a virus. They just spread all over the place and bring you referrals, okay? So we're next session is going to show you not only how to build a viral client base, but how to build loyalty amongst your ranks, in your family, as well as in your career life. The other thing it's going to do is it's going to help you understand how different people operate and why some of them drive you absolutely nuts. You're also strategically going to learn how to pick the right people for the right positions in the right places, recruiting the right personality that fits the very specific job it is that needs to get done. Whether that is, for example, let's say that your house needs to be remodeled. There's a certain personality that you might gel with, and there's a certain personality that you might not gel with. You want to pick the right particular one that you feel is going to work best with you. Or, of course, if it's like Zahar and it's like Mr. Clunan over there, they've learned how to be whatever personality it is that's in front of them because they've learned this, because they've been even through creating a dynasty where they began to learn how to speak the language of every single personality so they can morph into whoever it is that is in front of them and bring the right kind of service to that customer, to that buyer that is looking for the right kind of mutually beneficial relationship. So you're going to learn how to close more deals from this next session. You're going to learn how to recruit better talent, better viral customers. You're going to learn how to solve problems so much faster. In fact, you're even going to learn how to identify what the real problem actually is. And it's not usually what you thought it was. So remember yesterday I said to increase your value, you have to learn how to solve people problems. You're going to learn how to do that right now. So this tool you're going to get is not only going to increase your income, it's going to bring you more peace, so much more confidence, because you're going to know something that no one else around you knows. Unless, of course, you're wise and you're like a Patrick Clunan, where you're actually bringing your entire community along with you. Now everyone talks the same language and we understand each other and everything is so much easier. Less problems, less conflict, more production. You're also going to learn how to help more people, serve more people exactly in the place where they receive it. And you're going to be able to be much more efficient, much more effective, much more productive. Your numbers are going to line up. Things are going to balance right. Things are just going to be, basically, you're going to grease the chute where things just seem to go much, much easier. Right now, we're going to scratch the surface on our topic called gems. In 6 months from now, 5 months from now, at Creating a Dynasty in November in San Antonio, Texas, come to my house. In San Antonio, Texas, that's where you're actually going to go a whole lot deeper with this topic called gems. So what we need in order to do this is we need killer cooperation. We need you to pay attention, take a lot of notes, be all in with this content, and follow directions. We're actually going to move this room in a totally different shape in the next 10 minutes, and it's going to take all of us working together as a team to make that happen in 5 minutes total, moving 1,000 people in a different shape of a room. So, how many of you have taken a personality test before? Okay, cool. So did I, 29, 28 years ago, okay? And when I took that personality test, I know I did it wrong. My vocabulary was very, very limited. And remember, I had dyslexia until 2001. So it was one of those tests where they gave you four words. You circled a word that you thought best fit you. Well, if you have a limited vocabulary and you have dyslexia, how many of you know I jacked that thing up? I didn't know most of what the definitions were of the words, man. If it wasn't like 3-4-letter words, I'm sorry, it's beyond me. I needed a thesaurus or a dictionary to figure out what 3 of those stupid 4 words were. So I know I jacked the whole thing up, no question. But what I did learn coming out of that personality test experience was, there's 4 different types of people. And that's all I got out of it. But that was enough because months before, that first millionaire that I had the chance to learn from said, study people. Learn more about people than you do your product and your service, and you'll be unusually successful. So this kind of tipped me off between these two things of there's 4 different types of people. So I started to study people. I started to study the prospects that I was talking to, studying my customers I was talking to, studying my friends and some of my family members, and just watching and observing and forming them, asking questions and seeing how these people ticked. Well, through the years of literally just like analyzing people, GEMS got birthed, and that's the name of our personality training. It's called GEMS. Why GEMS? Because every person is born with amazing beauty and strength and value inside of them already. Just coming out the chute, they've got value and they've got beauty and they have things that are very important about them. Okay? And so, however, just like when a gem is found in the raw, right? Let's take a ruby for example. It basically just looks like this piece of red through a dark piece of dirty rock. Right? That's how, even like a diamond, for example, a diamond doesn't look like a diamond until it gets in the hands of a professional. A diamond simply looks like a dirty rock that's white, or more like a crystal, right? It looks like a crystal, a very foggy crystal, until it gets in the hands of a professional. Once it gets in the hands of the professional, now here comes the value. Now here comes the luster. And also here comes the price tag. So... That's how it works. If you were to see a raw, if you were ever to Google a raw diamond, it doesn't look anything like the sucker that's on my finger right now. It doesn't look anything like it, right? So that's the same for all the gems. Each one of the gems we're going to talk about, they right there in the raw, they're raw. They're rough on the edges, do you understand? And what it takes to get in the hands of a professional is that that person has to cut and chisel and cut and cut some more and cut and facet it and cut it and cut it and keep cutting. How many of you got some cutting yesterday? Last night a bit more. Last night a lot a bit more. Okay. So all of that refining process, and then once it is formed into a beautiful, whether it's round or it's an emerald cut or it's a pear shape or whatever the shape of the stone is, now in order for it to be put inside of a ring, guess what it needs? Heat. Yeah, so it has to get in fire in order for it to be attached to something for it to be worn. Because it just a loose stone is not all that more valuable, but it's when it's been put inside of something when it's been attached to something, a necklace, a bracelet, or whatever, that is when now the highest value of the item actually comes out. So it's a lot of refining, cutting, chiseling, and then burning before the highest of all value of you comes out. So that's why it's called gems. Now, go ahead and draw on, get a whole new fresh piece of paper. You're going to need paper and pen for this. And so draw a line from the top to bottom, and then, of course, straight down the middle. Now, I'm going to give you just basic one word about what represents each one of these gems. As we go through the next hour and a half, you'll be able to find exactly what gem you are. There's four different types of gems. You have all four gems in you. I'm going to say that again. All four gems are already in you. However, there's one that is dominant. It's the one that you operate in most of the time. And then there is the secondary gem. That's the one that you operate in second most of the time. Generally speaking, in most people, they operate in their first and their second, and the other ones kind of piddle out to just about nothing. There are some, very few, that all four are pretty well-rounded. As you go through more and more training, you're able to identify more with each one of these and accept each more part of these, and you can kind of develop those other parts of your personality, which can be very, very, very helpful and beneficial, but not necessary. You don't have to do that, okay? So you have all four. So as I go through the training in here, you're like, well, that's when I'm talking about your primary gem, you're like, but that's not me. That's not me. It could be because that's the emerald in you, or that could be the pearl in you. Do you understand? So again, we're talking about the personality. We're not talking about you per se, because you are your own unique makeup of whatever percentage of each gem it is that you are, okay? So the very first gem we're going to talk about is called a sapphire. And a sapphire, that's who they are. They are fun, okay? They are motivated by fun. They can't help themselves. They're going to have fun no matter where they go and what they do, okay? A pearl is our second gem, and the pearl is motivated by helping other people. They are motivated by service. They love to serve people. They don't have to be asked to serve people. It's just something that comes very natural to them. The next gem is called a ruby. Sorry, emerald. And the emerald is someone who is motivated by facts and figures. Everything's black or white. There is no gray area. And the last one is called a ruby. And the ruby is motivated by a challenge. All right, so we have fun, service, facts, and challenge. Put an X in the box that you feel is you majority of the time, the one you operate in most of the time. We don't need to know what your secondary gem is as of yet. Now, we're going to be turning the room into a little bit of a different shape, and here's what it's going to look like. Here's the room. Here's the stage. Up here is going to be where the sapphires are, okay? With the bright lights, all of them. Over here, you see this wing over here? Can you wave at me? Okay, that's going to be our pearl section. Wing over here, can you wave at me? That's going to be our ruby section. And perfectly organized, keeping the rose intact in the back, is going to be our emeralds. Now, let me give you a few quick instructions to begin with. To make this go as quickly as possible, so we don't take an hour trying to get the room organized, here's how we're going to do this. First of all, it's best if the gems don't touch each other, okay? It's best if we can have them kind of segregated. So, can I see where the sapphires are? That's quite a few. It's actually quite a few. Okay, so the emerald section, we're going to start you guys from the very back, okay? We're going to start you from the back, and we're going to have you fill in coming forward. So I know that we have that last section. Where are the emeralds? Oh, my gosh. Well, this would be a ton. why it was so quiet yesterday? Are we in German land or something? Is this a lot of Germans that live in Ohio? Because if there was a country that was emerald, it'd be German. And Japanese, for sure. Okay, that's a lot of emeralds. There's more emeralds than there are sapphires, and that's going to be fun. Pearls, where are you? Okay, well, here's what we're going to do first. If you're in this section over here, what I want you to do is you're going to turn, your chairs almost are already there, actually. You can see pretty well. Can you see me? Ah, screw it. Let's just do it. Okay, so what we're going to do is you're going to start the row, like the woman right here. Can you stand up for me? Okay, so she's in the very last seat. That last seat is going to be taken to the very back of the wall, and we're going to start that last row in the back, and then we're going to create rows that go like this, okay? And the pearl section, same thing. So the very last person that's closest to the wall, that's going to be the last row back there. Push it all the way to the back and start creating rows that we're going to be sitting in. I don't want you to move to your pearl or ruby section yet. All of these chairs need to get on the stage or just in front of the stage. Let me see the sapphires again. Actually, I don't know if we need all of those chairs. Let's start from here. So all of these chairs, now hold on a second. Everybody look around you. I want you to take your eyeballs and look around you. Not on the ceiling. Funny guy. That was so good. I'm sorry. Look down and around you. All of your junk that you've been camping with here this weekend needs to get on your person. Get it all on you, because we are not responsible for your junk. So if you lose a pen, Sapphire, if you lose your notebook or your wallet, Mrs. Sapphire, I'm sorry, we are not responsible. And Mr. Sapphire, okay? So these chairs, did I say from here? Here? These chairs need to end up on the stage and in rows in front of the stage once the stage is totally full. And then if the ruby section and the pearl section can turn to face the center, emeralds just stay put. Even if you're not an emerald and you're in this section, just hold tight. And by the way, no, we are not going to have pictures right now. And no, don't talk to me, because this whole room will get out of control if we don't move together. Ready? Go. Stay here, guys. We'll just take your stuff on your person. Get all your junk. Don't move yet till all the chairs are moved. All of you who are right here, don't move. Yeah, just stay here. Okay, so let me just give you some clarity. If you were in the place where I said move your chairs right here, the sapphire chairs, if you're sitting on a chair, you're going to pick up your chair, you're going to move it over there regardless if you're a sapphire or not. Okay? That long section over there, you guys are just supposed to move the chairs your butts were on. You guys over there are supposed to move the chairs your butts are on, but don't move your bodies. Just move the chairs and sit down until I say move to the section you belong in. These people here, just sit down. We're not moving those chairs yet. Tell you when to go to your section. Makes it easier.
Sapphires, let's see who can be quiet the longest. Pearls, it would be such a blessing if you could just like hold off talking for just a minute. Emeralds, silence will make this so much more efficient. Right, rubies, shut up.
So, the sand is the emerald.
That looks pretty good. Hi. How are you? Good. Okay, that looks pretty good. As soon as the sapphire chairs get in their place, then we can start to move everybody. Otherwise, it's complete chaos. Can a sapphire that's on the stage tell me if the chairs are going all the way to the back?
Yes.
They are? Okay, so we have those rows set up. All right, cool. All right, so rubies, pearls, and sapphires, go to your place. Emeralds, stay still. And actually, emeralds, if you want to start loading from the back of the room, the back of the center of the room forward, that'd be great. Please load from the back forward. Do not fill up the chairs that are in the front, because all these chairs are going to get moved. How are you, gorgeous? Okay, again, emeralds, you can start loading from the back of the room forward. Fill in every single chair. I know you like to have all your extra space and you don't want to be right next to each other, but I'm just going to ask for the sake of cooperation and effectiveness that we load from the back and move ourselves forward. Can I ask sapphires, if you have a chair next to you, can you raise your hands, please? Okay, hold on, guys. See, there's extra chairs. Sapphires, Chad, where are you? Okay, quiet, please. If all the sapphires can raise a hand where you have a chair next to you, please do it now. If you have an open seat next to you, raise your hand. Everybody, sapphires are coming over here. Look at the empty hands and please go to them. Go to them. We don't want to add more chairs until all the chairs are taken. Open seat, hand up. Okay, pearls, same thing. If you have an open seat next to you, please raise your hand. Open seats. There's just one, two, three open seats. Okay, hold on, guys. Instead of bringing more chairs, fill in the empty seats, please. Pearls. Pearls with the chair in their hand. Drop the chair. Drop the chair now. If you have a seat next to you, stand up. Pearls, if there's an empty seat next to you, please stand up and invite your fellow Pearl to come sit with you. Where's the seat? No. There's a seat over there, ma'am. Oh, wait, did she already go over there? Is there another open seat? Okay, cool. Actually, would you mind?
Sliding back.
That would be amazing. Careful, don't, like, turn over. There we go. All right, cool. And who are we? Rubies? Rubies? Where's the rubies? Hi, rubies. Okay. Rubies, we have an entire open, bare area. This is so hilarious. Over there. Okay. So, Rubies, if you had, there, oh, now you're moving your chairs forward. You guys are absolutely hilarious. So predictable. You are right. And you're sitting in the second row.
Oh, we gave him the slack.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh. Dang, man, that's a lot of emeralds. Okay, cool. All right, I think we're good. And I have a pen. I don't need it. But I need that. Yeah, perfect. Are you an emerald? No, you're a pearl. So all you pearls need chairs? Cool. Now, see, you guys are so cute. Some of you must be emerald rubies because you wanted to be in the front. I'm going to have you pick up your bodies and move to empty seats. Look at her. She's like, I'm dying. I'm dying. Because all these chairs need to go over there to the pearls. So pearls, come right over here. Pearls, over here. Hi. This is an entire row. No, keep going back. There's a whole nother. Keep going back. She's going to wait till last. Completely exposed. It's okay. So, okay, pearls, there's your seats. Okay, there we go. I love it. There's quite a few pearls that needed chairs. Hey, pearls. They're carrying your chairs. If you guys can go this way, that would be better because I don't want you touching them. Come over here. I want you to be able to see. Come over here. There you go. Start the row right there. I want you to stay away for the emeralds. Stay away. It'll help you learn better. Even though these guys are really crowded with the rubies over here. Thank you, I do too. I got them in Italy. They're super fun. Yeah, $35. I won't spend a lot of money on anything. You'll find out later why that is. Okay, cool. All right, we're good. Everyone has their place? Okay, well, anytime that a project is to start with a group of people, and usually in a group, there's generally going to be four different personalities in a group. The lights got turned out for them. Yes, they do hurt. Now you get to see what I deal with the entire weekend. Yeah. All right, so whenever a project is ready to get started, typically the rubies are the very first to step up and step forward and be the ringleaders and organize everything and get everybody moving and taking charge, which is awesome, and that's because they have a gift of leadership. However, stepping up and being first all the time is not the highest level of leadership. But the higher level of leadership is raising up other leaders. Yes. Yes, developing an army of leaders versus you always being the one who's leading all the time. So we are going to work on patience right now and giving other people the opportunity to go first, which means that he who must be first must first be last.
Thank you.
Right here. You see that? She
said,
save the best till last. Did you hear what she just said? That is just too cute. That's awesome. So, yes, rubies are going to be last. The emeralds don't care where we start as long as we start in a timely and efficient fashion. And the pearls also don't care where we start as long as we don't start with them. They hate being first. So that leaves us with one option. That one option would be our sapphires. Now, as you can tell, our sapphires are very enthusiastic. They just can't help themselves. They are very loud. They are infectious. They enjoy lots of laughter. They enjoy being around a lot of people. The bigger the crowd, the better. They know no strangers. Everybody is a friend. Yesterday when we were talking about communication skills, we were talking about form, that's just completely up their sleeve. However, usually when you think you're good with people, you won't master a particular skill and you'll just be okay in the grand scope of things. Yes, we do need more light because this is too dark over there. Yeah, there we go. That. You can't hear us? Okay, that lighting is better. They need sunlight on them for sure. Okay. And yes, are we going to turn some monitors or something in their direction so they can hear? You just did it? You got that monitor being turned? Let's hope there's not feedback. And then that one over there? Yeah. You can't reach it, Jen? Is that what you're saying? You need help? What's... They have two speakers on their side. There, that should be fine. We can always turn it back also. Okay, so where am I? Where was I? I know I was with the Sapphires. Oh, communication, thank you. So, like, for example, with form, none of these people are afraid to talk to people. They just talk to people. They don't have to think about talking to people. They just talk to people. It's just something that comes very, very natural to them. They don't even have to be told to do it. It's just what they naturally do. They have a deep interest in people automatically. That's the way that they were wired. They are very risk-oriented. They like to take risks. They're very fun and bold and... And let's talk about their clothing, because their clothing usually can give them away a little bit. Can I have the woman with that amazing pink hair stand up? Yeah. She's looking around trying to find the one with the pink hair. Yeah, you. Okay, this is absolutely perfect. Okay, so Sapphires, all right, so we're going to have lots of damaged hair in the Sapphire area. She's like, no, I cut it off. I cut the damage off, leaving it short. Exactly, I get it. No, I'm not explaining you, I'm explaining Sapphires. So Sapphires tend to have a lot of damaged hair, and why? They love creativity. They love to change it all the time. They might be a platinum blonde one month, and the next month hot pink, and then the next month it'd be maybe purple, and then we'll go to black. They love variety. They love change. They do not like routines. They don't like schedules. They like things very fluid and creative, where they have the freedom to be whatever it is that they are feeling they need to be at that time. This is also where we're going to see a lot of color in their clothing. No, you're perfect for standing. So we have lots of color all over the clothes. And of course, we like to decorate our bodies as well. So this is generally where you're going to find a whole lot of things like that. So a lot of, you know, tattoos. You're going to find body piercings. You're going to find lots of bling, like shiny stuff on the women and in some of the guys. But usually a lot of loud, bold colors is what they like to wear. So even their glasses generally are going to have something fun about them. Everything has to be trendy. Everything has to be fun. You can sit down. You are a perfect example. Take a deep breath. A nice big cleansing breath. Because I saw you holding your breath for that entire 60 seconds that music was playing. And you were just kind of outside of yourself there for a minute going, what is going on? What is going on? Why are they dancing? Now, don't you find this to be so interesting? I did not cue Chad at all. I didn't tell Chad, Chad, can you please put some music on so the Sapphires can show you how they like to dance? I didn't say anything. In fact, we weren't talking about music, was I? No, I was talking about clothing. We're talking about clothing, but here's what happened. The music was put on, and out of nowhere, the very first beat that came, the Sapphires just couldn't help themselves. And the reason is this is the way the great designer designed them. This was done on purpose. On purpose, they were designed this way, that they've got to be around music. They've got to be moving. These are the kids that were tapping through class. They were doodlers on their homework. They were ones that were chipping away the paper and even eating it in class. How many of you ate some of your homework? Ate the sides of the paper. Here's the kids who always had something in their mouth, or it was gum, it was the end of a pen, it was a pen cap, always chewing on something. In fact, some of them have something, a pen in their mouth even now as I'm talking. Chewing on their glasses, whatever it is that they got to be chewing on something. They love accessories. They love to decorate. They love to change things. Like, for example, these are the people that you go into their house. You know, one month the living room where it looks another way. The next month they changed it.
Oh, yeah.
They love to move. They have to move the couch to the other wall. They don't know why, but they just have to move the couch to a different place. Yes. They mix very easily. They enjoy being around lots of different types of people, and they have lots of different types of friends, and they have friends in every port that they go to. They are very spontaneous. They love to take spontaneous trips. They like to do spontaneous lunches. They love to do things outdoors and indoors. Things have to be constantly moving and flowing, or if it's not, then it's stale and it's boring. They have a quite a fast moving mind that has to stay busy and has to keep doing things. They're initiators, fire starters. They love to start new things. They like to build new things. Finishing is boring. Finishing is totally boring. They just completely peter out towards the middle. Middle to the end is just petering out. Like, I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore. Thank you. They are very inspirational. And the way that they like to sell or try to close when they haven't been trained properly is they'll say, trust me, it works. Now, trust me, it works for other sapphires if you're closing a sapphire, but it doesn't necessarily work for anybody else. You might get a pearl reluctantly to trust you, and they're afraid to say no to you, so they'll yield. But the ruby and the emerald especially, will not trust you that it works. So, you know, if you want to close a sapphire, trust me, it works. I trust you, you know, and they go for it. They are insanely optimistic. They were born this way. They were wired positive. They were wired to see the good in everybody. They were wired to see the good in every bad situation. It's just the way that they were wired, which is such a gift of optimism. It's such a beautiful, wonderful gift to have. They're the best promoters in the room. Nobody is better at promoting than these people right here. And they don't need a lot of time to promote either. They don't. So if it's a party or if it's an event like this, it's a gathering, man, they can pull people together so very fast because they always have people at their fingertips. The professions that they tend to go towards, it's good to see you again, girl. The professions that they tend to go towards are things that have to do with people. So there's been a lot of food service, hospitality type work, any kind of phone work where they're having to talk to people, amusement parks, of course, they get to work with people. Anything that has to do with being face-to-face or communicating with another person, that is their absolute sweet spot. The worst spot for them would be like in accounting. That would be absolute torment for these people. These people have two piles of clothes in their hotel room right now. The hotel rooms of the Sapphires, these people, the poor maids, even right now, walked in the room and went, because it is just a disaster. Like, everything is just strewn all over the place. And somehow they're able to function in mess. They just can do it. They can just roll with it, and it seems to work out really, really well for them. Okay? I say what?
They can borrow that messy.
They can borrow the mess?
Everybody can borrow messy.
Okay. That's a great perspective. That's awesome. The way that they solve problems is through their mouths. Their mind and their mouth are totally connected. It is unified. It is one. They are not disconnected at all. So that the way that they solve problems is by talking their way through it. Like, for example, they heard about creating a dynasty, you know, a little bit yesterday and a little bit today. And they're like, what's that? I wonder, how do I find out more about that? Boy, that guy, I've seen these t-shirts around here. What are these t-shirts about? I want one of those t-shirts. Wait, it's in November? What's going on in November? I think I should be able to make that happen. But I'd have to get time off work. I got to find a place for my kids. Oh, I'll work all that stuff out. Okay, I'm done. I'm going. That's pretty much how it goes. And they're great problem solvers. They just need you to listen. That's it. They don't need you to solve the problem for them. Did you hear me, everybody? Emerald especially, they come to you with a problem. You want to solve it. They don't want you to solve it. They just want you to listen. That's it. They find their own solution just by talking themselves through it, which is awesome. These are the kids that were drugged in school. These are the kids that were given Ritalin and all those other psychoactive drugs because the teachers, unfortunately, with the right hearts, the teachers got into the teaching profession. Where are my teachers in the room? Okay. Look at that. Oh, there's all over the place. So the teachers got into the teaching profession because they wanted to groom the next generation for greatness. They wanted to raise up that next generation to do great in the world, and they loved kids. The problem is that our school system is so jacked up that they have not equipped the teachers to understand who is actually in the classroom. They've given them some stupid scientific terminology that is completely unrelatable. Instead of helping them to understand the simplicity of how do I motivate each one of these kids in my class, how do I identify them? And so these kids, because the teachers are overloaded with stuff that really doesn't matter, and they've not been equipped to really understand something like GEMS, these teachers have been told to drug the kids that they cannot control. So they put the sapphires are the ones that end up on Ritalin. And then Ritalin, one of the side effects is suicidal thoughts. From Ritalin, the child goes to antidepressants as an adult and remains there forever. That's how they suck them into the whole, forget about it, pharmaceutical industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's absolutely disgusting. Instead of simply equipping the teachers. Now, I had two sapphire children. Of course, they wanted to drug my two sapphire children. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Not happening. So rather than trying to fight the pharmaceutical industry, it was about this. I'm going to equip each teacher that is in front of my sapphire children for them to understand how to motivate my sapphire child. Because a sapphire can be motivated to do anything through recognition. Anything. They are natural team players. They can be organized for recognition. They can. They can be quiet when they need to be quiet for recognition. They'll do anything for recognition, and they're team players. They're team sports people. And so I would sit with one of those teachers, and this is before Grooming the Next Generation for Success was written. Once that was written, it was like, here, read this. Okay? Because, and I say, do you want to be able to pull the best out of Roman? Do you want to be able to also utilize Roman's gifting to motivate your entire class to get their school done, to raise their grades so that they would be able to have more time doing the things that they want to do? And they're like, yes, tell me. Great, well, here's how. My son's a sapphire. Here's a teaching on it. Here's who the rest of your class is. If you bring him along with you and say, Roman, I need your help. He'll be like, yes, ma'am. What can I do to help you? Okay. I would love to release the class 5 minutes early so you can have 10 minutes for a break instead of just five. That would be awesome. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. If you can motivate the class, I'll let you get in front of everybody and tell them exactly what the plan is. If we can get our schoolwork done as quickly as possible, then we're out of here 5 minutes early. So everybody, dude, Mrs. Smith is the greatest ever. She wants to let us out of class 5 minutes early. Here's the deal. All we got to do is you got to, like, get this work done fast. Ready? And Marcus, like, go. Class was motivated to get it done, and they all got out early. So, unfortunately, teachers are not given those kind of tools. So how many of you have kids in school who has sapphire kids? You might want to do the teacher every year that is raising up your children, do them a great service of giving them Grooming the Next Generation for Success and the Home Study Course, and let them learn who's in their classroom and how to motivate them. It's the most powerful teaching you could ever pass down to not only the teachers. And by the way, that is exactly what Patrick Clunan did. Patrick Clunan held classes at the school for how many years? 4 or 5 years. Yes, having the parents, the faculty, students coming to Grooming the Next Generation for Success. He pressed play, and he let the teaching that was all in there teach the entire school about gems, about money, about communication skills, even about emotional skills, forgiveness, teaching the kids how to honor. There's scripts in there on how to discipline your child, scripts in there on how to pull leadership out of them, how to pull the dreams that are inside of them, how to pull those out, how to motivate them. That's all inside of Grooming the Next Generation for Success, which brought peace inside of the classroom, peace for the parents. So now it was the parents and the teachers and the students who all knew this information, moving together in harmony towards a common goal. So very, very powerful. That's leadership right over there. It was the very first thing that he did coming out of a First Steps to Success. Okay, so it's time for us to move on. I have to go to my pearls. Pearls. Ah. It feels so good to see you. Can we pray together? Oh man, that little back rub feels so nice. Okay. It was 9.
Thank you.
Thanks. These are our pearls. And our pearls are very similar to sapphires. I just like to call it sapphire light. Because we like all the same things, just at a different level. Like, for example, we enjoy music. You see, that music that was just playing is just like, we love relaxation music. We like worship music. When I started working out, I work out to this CD that is nothing but birds and crickets and wind and the ocean. That is still what I work out to, or I work out with earplugs in to silence. It helps to make you centered, calms your heart rate, helps your breathing to be correct, right? So we love the outdoors. We love the kiss of the sun on our cheeks, or if we're by the ocean, that mist from the ocean. We like the smell of the natural flowers and the trees. We actually notice these things. Even when we drive to a new area, like all of our senses, we can smell what is outside, good, bad, or indifferent, but we can smell it. We love to be outside, especially around sunset, right? And the sun's just going down, and as we watch the sky begin to change, you should see it in Texas. It's really amazing. It takes about an hour for the sky to actually change, and it just goes through so many, and we love transformations. It's just transformation, and all of a sudden, right above you is a black sky, but still over here, we've got a midnight blue, and it gets lighter and lighter, even down to the yellow on the horizon. It's so glorious and beautiful. We love beauty. The beauty of the ocean, beauty of dirt, even gardening, right? Getting our hands in the dirt, the smell of that rich soil and being able to plant something in the ground and being able to watch that within 7 days that there's something that pops up and you know that life has been born. We enjoy being around people also, and we've had long-standing relationships for a really long time. We love to be faithful and we love to be around faithful people. Faithfulness is a really important thing to us. How many of you have had some of the same friends since kindergarten? We've been in touch with people for a really long time. We love history. love history. We love our own personal history, the history of our friends, and then, of course, our country history, the city history, or even if we like to travel, we like to go to places that are historical and learn about the history, 4,000 years worth of history or whatever. We like seeing what happened way back when and seeing the differences of what is today. We have appreciation for things like art and music, and many people over here like to dabble in art and or music. How many of you are artistic or musical? I've made a lot of blankets, crocheting, latch hook. I've made a lot of rugs through a couple of my pregnancies because I was bed rested. So I made rugs for my kids, you know, the latch hook, you know, when I was having a boy, so soccer ball, basketball, whatever. One for my daughter that had little kittens and bunnies on it and things like that. So we like the clouds. We like things that are soft. We like romance. We have a tendency of being the people that remember people's birthdays, or we remember their anniversaries, and we remember what are important to other people. We have a deep appreciation for people. We generally are interested in people. We are very sensitive. We tend to be more calm, especially in the midst of a storm. Patience runs pretty strong inside of this personality. Very tolerant and tolerant of the differences in other people, especially if they don't necessarily believe that we do. We're kind of curious about that. And we like to learn, and we're good listeners. Pearls like to listen to other people's problems. They listen to even other people's solutions. Observers like to observe things. And we are peacemakers. We're peacemakers. We want everyone to just be happy and get along. Wouldn't that be great? If everyone could just act right, the world would be such a better place, right? We're motivated by a cause. A cause is what gets us out of bed every day. A cause is something that we can become very passionate about. This is actually where passion is birthed for us, is in a cause. We're not, let's say, so passionate about everyday things, but when we know that or have heard about, you know, people that are suffering, living in cardboard boxes or plastic wrapped around trees, and that is called their home, that their children are rummaging through the trash to find food, these things infuriate us. When we hear about the sex trafficking in this country, and how it's a multi-billion dollar industry in this country, and Houston, Texas is the gateway into the rest of the country, it infuriates us, especially when we have some of the largest mega churches in Houston, Texas alone, and they're doing nothing about it. Nothing. That absolutely infuriates us. When we hear and or see with our own eyes that there are people living under bridges, and yet there's lavish living all around those bridges, it just infuriates us till no end. And that's where we become passionate. That's when we become loud. That's when we may even force what we are passionate about on someone else. And we have a tendency to judge them. Get a life. You and your Lexus. You know? So there is strong passion behind the pearls. It is all about what they are passionate about. They're not passionate about work unless their work has to do with freeing slaves out of the sex trade or feeding an orphan or helping the widow or caring for the sick. Then that's where our passion is going to be. And we will fight till the very end for somebody else. That's what pearls do. They're very adaptable. They don't like change. They prefer routines and systems and methods. And when there is a change, they will adapt after they complain internally for a while. But because they hate confrontation, they're not going to confront an issue. They're not going to go to somebody and say, this is wrong. I don't like how abrupt this change was. I don't think it's appropriate. And you're really putting me out and making me feel uncomfortable. They're not going to say those things. They will say it internally. They will stuff their feelings. And they'll go ahead and adapt to where the change was. You can usually see it all over their face, but they'll just go, okay, fine, whatever. Let's go ahead and do it. But it's a lot of internal conversation that they do. A lot of stewing happens right over here. So they hate making decisions. it's like tormenting to us to make a decision. It's horrible. It's really, really horrible, especially if your secondary personality is an emerald. It's really, really bad combination for making decisions. Because then we go, oh, I'll do a lot of research that will help me not have to make the decision fast. So at least I feel like I'm producing something and I'm researching so I make the right decision. But in all reality, we're just procrastinating on making the decision. We just don't like making them. In fact, let's just test this out. Where do you want to go for lunch? Where do I want to go? I picked last time. It's your turn. Where do you want to go?
I don't care.
You don't care? But I don't care either. No, really, it's your turn. Where do you want to go for lunch? I don't know either. So, I mean, as you can tell, pearls are, you know, if two pearls are married to each other, they never get to eat. Because no one can decide what to eat, where to eat, when to eat. It's just too much for me. I can't make a decision right now. All right, so typically the types of professions they do are also dealing with people, but it's going to be like social work and teachers, things that have to do with the community or the backbone of an organization, the hands and feet of an organization. These are the people that often volunteer inside of any type of organization. They're the kind of people that will come in first, stay late. They really like to be the supporters of an organization. They also keep in touch with people. So when we were talking about yesterday about following up and sending thank you cards and stuff like that, they love the personal touch. This just comes natural. It's not something they have to train their brain and rewire themselves to actually do. They actually still believe in handwritten letters. And they still handwrite cards. And which is an incredible trait. And it's the personal touch. So if you want to learn anything about the personal touch, these are the people to learn it from. They are very, very good with tapping into what matters to people. So on that note, they also have, because of the fact that they don't like confronting issues, they have a tendency of being walked on and taken advantage of. They often feel like they are being taken advantage of, even when they're not being taken advantage of. After they've been taken advantage of many times, they assume everyone's going to take advantage of them because it's happened so many times. Let me see where you're at. The reality is they create the opportunity to be taken advantage of. That's the problem, right? We reap what we sow. So they create the environment, they set the stage to be taken advantage of, and then they get mad at people for taking advantage of them. So here's what it looks like. How many of you are in business and you have a hard time charging full price for your product or your service? So how many of you have a tendency of giving it away for free or at a major discount? And then you feel taken advantage of. It's psychotic. Right? You don't want to charge, so you give it away for free, and then you feel taken advantage of. You actually gave the person the right to take advantage of you. Right? Now, let's get underneath this very act right here, right? Why is it that you don't want to charge full price for what it is that you're doing? She says she feels guilty if I'm charging full price. Right? Right. You want to be generous. You want to help them. You don't want to displease. I feel sorry for them spending money on this. I don't want to cause a financial problem or anything like that. Okay, all right. How many of you identify with all these excuses that were just given? Because I'm going to prove to you right now that an excuse is a well-planned lie. So why do we really give the product away for free or at a major discount? Let's really get underneath it. So based on everything that you just said, you don't want to displease them. You want to help them. Why? You want to be generous. Why? Because I want to be liked. Because it makes me feel good to be a hero and to save the day. It makes me feel good if I'm generous. It makes me feel good if I'm thinking about their financial position. It makes me feel good if they're pleased. It makes me feel good. Let's try that together. It makes
me.
What? You forgot your finger. Me feel good. So it has nothing to do with helping them. You're actually helping yourself, which is straight up selfishness and pride. Something that you think you don't have. Something that you judge your opposite gem over there to have. They're just bold with their selfishness. You are sneaky with yours. Sneaky and manipulative with retaliation. The retaliation is what? Once they take advantage of your generosity that you offered to them to make yourself feel good, then you feel taken advantage of, and now you're mad at them that they took the product for free. Psychotic. I'm joking when I say that, but kind of is. Okay. So how do we fix this? Well, the reality is you get to the reality of really what your motive is. If your motive really is to help them, then would you be giving it to them for free? How many of you have given it away for free? What ended up happening? Did they end up using it? Generally, they don't end up using it. Why? Because you stole the value away from your product or your service. You completely stole the value away, and you put a zero price tag on it, which meant it had zero value. Now, question, is what you have valuable? Yes. Is it important? Yes. Then they need to be charged full price, and if there's tax and freight that's involved, they need to be charged tax and freight as well. The grocery store, when they sell you mayonnaise, the tax and freight, the freight is within, and the tax, actually. There's multiple taxes that was on that jar of mayonnaise before it ever went through the check stand. Yes, they don't charge you tax at the check stand, but there was all kinds of taxes that were attached to the mayonnaise, right? The eggs were taxed to make it. The oil was taxed to make it. The farms were taxed that made it. Do you understand? The manufacturing plant, the people who made the glass were taxed. There's all kinds of taxes that happen on a jar of mayonnaise. So the grocery store is having the tax and freight attached to the product. So here's the deal. Two things. Number one, if you're going to continue on this path of giving it away for free, and you want to continue to walk in selfishness, that's on your own head. Call yourself a nonprofit, because that's what you are. And if you want to be a nonprofit, get yourself a 501c3, okay? And don't expect the business to make you money if you're giving your products away and you're giving your profits away. So if you don't want to be a for-profit business, then give it all away for free and just be good with that, right? Don't go, the business isn't working, I'm not making any money, and feeling like a failure because it's not profitable. It's not profitable because you're not charging. So charge and then do this. Take the money and give it to those who are really in need versus the people who continue to take advantage of you and have been taking advantage of you because you have taught them it's okay to take advantage of you. You actually asked them to take advantage of you. You said, please take advantage of me because I'm selfish and I like to feel generous and I like to feel good about myself. Make sense? Cool. So how do you do it? All right, well, many of you are going to have a phone call coming up this next week of somebody trying to borrow money from you. How many of you had someone call you last week? What about the week before? Okay, how many of you have the same people calling you and have been calling you for years? Let me give you a script on how to really help somebody. So the next time that phone call comes, someone's trying to take advantage of you, here's your answer. Thank you so much for calling. First of all, I want to tell you how much I love you and how much I believe in you. And I just came out of a training seminar where I realized that I owe you an apology. Will you please forgive me for hurting you? You're going to say, you haven't hurt me. Oh, yes, I have. Multiple times. Multiple times I've put you in this position to have to call me about money. Please forgive me because I have not extended you the opportunity to learn how to solve this problem on your own, which is why you're calling me again about this And I'm sure I'm not the only one that you have called. So in light of that, will you forgive me? Sure. And in light of that, I want to make sure that I do whatever I can to help you to succeed to where you never, ever have to pick up the phone again and make this tormenting phone call. I can only imagine the kind of pressure that you're under and the courage that it took to pick up the phone. So here's what I'm going to do. Do you have a pen and paper handy? Sure. Write this down. DaniJohnson.com. DaniJohnson.com. This is a former homeless woman who grew up in a violently abusive, drug-infested home who made a lot of mistakes and failures financially and with her relationships. When she was homeless, no one would help her. No one. Not a single family member, not a single friend. And she says that was the best thing that could have ever happened to her. She had to bootstrap it and figure it out and solve her own problem. She started a business from the trunk of her car in a payphone booth, and she made $250,000 her first year. By the end of her second, she made her first million. Today, she makes millions and gives all of it away. And she's helping people all over the globe to get on their feet and to get established so that they can have success for their life as well. So she has a free website with free materials and does a daily television and radio show that could be accessed in your area. But if not, she shows it on her website also every single day. I want you to go to the site, watch the first show. Tell me what you learned. Today's show is already aired. The replay is right on the website. There's also articles that you can get every day and a free book called First Steps to Wealth, where she lays out every single step that it took for her to be able to get on top financially. So, the ball is in your court. The next step is yours. At this time, my bank account is closed to you for now and forever. And this website is going to help you never need for money again as long as you follow the directions that she's giving. So, do you have that website? Can you repeat it back to me? DaniJohnson.com. I'm going to call you in 45 minutes, and I want you to tell me three things you learned from the first show that you watched. I believe in you. I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you. I'm going to call you tomorrow to make sure you watched it too. And as long as you keep watching it, I'm standing with you. You choose not to. Your life is in your own hands. The choice is yours. I love you. Bye. There's your script. Now, I want you to think about how much money you've lost because of not wanting to confront issues that need to be confronted. How much stress have you endured because of not knowing how to confront issues? How many of you think it's a lot of stress and you've lost a lot of money by not confronting issues? You're like, no, I've confronted issues. Yeah, but this is usually how it goes. You see, these people are so patient. Wait till you hear what happens to them. They're amazing. You see, you can take advantage of them for a really, really long time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, see, some of them are giggling because they know exactly what I'm going to say. They are super patient. They are really enduring, lots of long suffering that they put themselves through until there's that straw that breaks the camel's back, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they manifest like a principality of darkness, a demon from hell. They start screaming, their bodies flailing all over the place, they're dropping F-bombs, they're cussing somebody out. And then when they've had their full of it, then they gather themselves together and go, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know what just happened. I'm so sorry. I meant everything I said, but I didn't mean to scream and cuss at you. I can't. Where did those words come from? Please forgive me. So here, the reaction that they should have had like 6 years ago, they finally have, and then they ask for forgiveness for it. How many of you have done this? Okay, then they feel totally guilty, fully ashamed. They can't sleep that next night. They feel like they've got to go do their rosary. They got to go talk to their priest. They got to go talk to their counselor because they feel so guilty that they manifested like that and they sinned against God. And what's so funny is the person they did this in front of is usually like, oh my gosh, if I made that person mad, I must have done really bad. I did something really, really bad. Because people don't expect you to respond like that because you're so peaceful and so quiet and so gentle. Yeah, no, they are human. Yes, yes. They do get angry. So, but if you had the skills to confront an issue in restoration, okay, not in confronting, meaning your confrontation is a blowout in front of them. How many of you are surprised that they blow up? Anybody? No, not surprised. Like the Ruby's like, no, I'm married to one of those. I've seen that happen many times. I've seen the blow up one too many times. Okay, so anyway, thank you. So on the note of blowing up, the confrontation, that's a confrontation in their face and you're attacking them, right? Because you've lost it and should have lost it a long time ago. If you were prepared with the communication skills to prevent the blow up and to prevent the failure between the two, but to have a conversation in gentleness, in quietness, in the right heart, and bringing it to restoration where both parties have the revelation that we have to make a change, then there's harmony involved. That's a solution that's set before you. So there's not a bunch of stress and pressure to try to convince somebody that they were wrong or try to convince them that they needed to not do what it was that you're trying to tell them that they did, but instead it's creating an environment through a system that disarms dissension. And you're going to learn that at Creating a Dynasty, where it's actually a script. You're going to get a script on a piece of paper passed out to you. You're going to get the chance to practice that script. And that script is very, very powerful, as well as a list of do's and don'ts before you have that conversation. So it's kind of like you keep this thing in a file that when you can feel the bubbling happening inside of your belly, you reach for the file, you read the instructions, like, okay, I can do that. Okay, cool. And then you're just going to read the script to the person. How many of you think that could be helpful to you? Yes. Could you, I see it already. Like, some of you are like, oh my gosh, that would be so awesome. It's such a relief, right? And it works. It works. It works. It works. I have to do this in my office. I have to do this at home. But I use the same exact script. There's people in this room I've used this script on countless times. Because people are human and things need to be adjusted. And if restoration is always the goal, both parties now are building trust with each other instead of we're building bitterness and resentment. Because bitterness and resentment is something that pearls harbor quite a bit. And we do it quietly. Yeah, we stuff bitterness, we stuff unforgiveness, and we stuff resentment. So as we get older, we get less and less trusting of people. Less and less engaged with people. And we want to isolate ourselves because there's so much pain that we've created all by ourselves. By teaching people that they can take advantage of us. So, how do you think that script would be really helpful for you? And to be able to learn the art of disarming dissension. You're going to learn that at Creating a Dynasty. It's November, I think it's the 10th, 11th, and 12th. Is that it? Yeah, November 10th, 11th, and 12th in San Antonio, Texas. Mark it on your calendars. Get yourself registered. Do not delay. Don't wait till 2018. This is the time to be able to learn this kind of a skill moving forward into the next year. But meanwhile, I just gave you that script, right? When somebody calls to borrow money, how many of you can use that? You can say that. You can direct people to where they're really going to get help versus you being the one that they're always coming to because you're not the savior, right? Neither am I. There is one that is, and your job is to help point them in the direction where they can find the Savior. Okay, thank you so much for your time. I know that I could get a back rub. I know I could get a foot rub. I could get reflexology over here. I could get some essential oils. I could get vitamins. I could get, we have some acoustic instruments, but I have to go over here then. Live with mosh pits and mostly men in the crowd. It was trippy. Okay, emeralds. Why that music? It's very complicated. And emeralds are very, very complicated. Emeralds enjoy instruction. By the way, clothing generally is going to be functional, dark, and dated. Because dark will last for generations. It's a color that is always in. And it needs to be functional. And generally, not a whole lot of outward fashion, let's say. But it's usually going to be more conservative and something that's going to last for a really long time because we are great maintainers. We make things last for a really, 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 can I say it again? Really long time. Whether it's cars, it's things, by the way, that we make last a really long time. Cars, clothing, shoes, we just make things last for a really long time. By the way, clothing over here, how you identify them, the pearls are going to be wearing a lot of earthy tones. They like organic cottons, bamboo cotton. They like anything that's natural. They don't like things that bind them, like, you know, belts around their waist that are, like, binding them, things that are too tight. They like breathable fabrics. Generally, the makeup on the women is going to be more light and more natural looking if they're wearing it at all. You're not going to see a lot of bright red fingernails over here. You're not going to see a lot of black striking makeup on their faces. And so over here, you'll see a gamut of things depending on what the secondary personality gem is. So if it's an emerald ruby, you might see more glamour on the women. If it's an emerald pearl, you're going to see more natural thing over there. But as far as clothing goes, generally it's going to be stuff that's been around for a really long time. And we just make it work. I have clothes in my closet. I'm trying to remember what I wore yesterday. But generally I wear stuff on the stage that I've had for 25 years. 26 years. What did I wear yesterday? The skirt. I've only had that for 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I've only had that for 4 or 5 years. I got it in Iceland. Really cheap. Anyway, so we have a tendency of maintaining things. That's what we do. So we like our yards to be manicured and maintained. Our cars are maintained. We are the people that actually get it serviced, you know, on time. We make sure and use the fuel that the manufacturer says we're supposed to use. We like to follow instructions. We are the people that say, just tell me what I'm supposed to do and I will do it. Just give me what the instructions are. We want it on paper. We don't want to guess what it is. We don't want to try to figure it out. Just tell us what we're supposed to do and we can follow the instructions. When I was talking about an SOP yesterday, they really liked that idea. They like step number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and then they liked going back through step 1, going a little deeper on step 1 with 3 other subpoints, and then number 2 with 3 other subpoints. They loved it. Then I went even deeper yet on the how-to portion of it. That was all for the emeralds. You're welcome. So very welcome. So very welcome. The 8 characteristics of the truly wealthy, step number 1, step number 2, number 3, number 4. They're the people that have their notes as perfectly put together as possible with some footnotes, some stars, some asterisks, highlighted what time the session actually started, what time the session ended. Look at some of them are so naked right now. So when these people had their children that got a gift, if they have kids and the child received a gift, it needs to be put together, right? It seems like today everything has to be assembled. Everything, nothing comes pre-assembled anymore. By the way, you know why that is, right? It's how the companies kept the same price but saved money, right? So they're using our labor instead of their employees' labor. So everything comes, you know, unassembled, so we have to assemble it. So these are actually the people that read all the instructions first. That's right. They grab the instructions, they read all the instructions first, and then as they open up the box, they, of course, use a X-Acto knife just a little bit to get that tape, you know, lifted up, and then they open that styrofoam case up, and then they pull out each and every bag of pieces, all the little screws, the nuts, the, you know, the washers, and we open it up really carefully. Like, we just lift that tape right off of that plastic. We will dump it out on the table, and we take an inventory of all the parts as we're putting the item together. Okay, versus, of course, our sapphires over here, where our sapphires actually open up the box with a knife straight through. Not even realizing there's something on the other side that could be damaged with the knife. There's just, you know. And then when they open up that styrofoam turns into snow. So they take that styrofoam and they do this with it, right? So they make it all into tiny little pieces, and it's snow, everybody, all over the carpet, inside of the carpet. And then they rip open those pieces. They don't take the tape off. They just rip it out, usually with their teeth, right? And they do not read the instructions. They look at the pictures, and they put the item together. Now, there's always parts left over. And the bookshelf might be leaning a little bit. But it is put together. Yes, and you're right. The emeralds have to fix it. If it is fixable, there's a chance it might not be fixable once it was leaning. But nonetheless, emeralds enjoy instructions. We have peace in instructions. There really is. There's like peace to us. There's almost like stillness in our soul when somebody is telling us specifically what to do. And we hate it when the instructions are not complete. It like creates anxiety inside of us. Figure it out as we go. Like, it just really jacks up with our bellies. So we love accuracy. We have a really big, a deep appreciation for accuracy. Oh my goodness. And we can't stand incompetency. Incompetent people just, like, just get under our skin so bad. Like, really, really bad. It really provokes the absolute worst in us. Preaches. So we really appreciate accurate numbers, accurate timelines, accurate stories. We don't like things that are made up as they go. We're very consistent and predictable. Very, very, very predictable. If you live with an emerald, you pretty much know where they're at 11:59. You know exactly what they had for breakfast, because it's the same thing that it's been for a really long time. Every once in a while, you know, they'll change it up if they read some new research or something, or they're trying to accomplish a new goal, and they're working towards something very specific. Okay, I'm not going to just eat my apple today for breakfast. You know, it takes me a while to make a new change. I can do it. I'm making a new change. Okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to make a change right now. And it takes a lot of research before we'll make the change. But once we are thoroughly convinced with all the data, you know, like two books that I had to read in order to change my breakfast. As I researched all the data and I did my own sub-research in the books on top of that to just confirm the research that this one writer was writing about. Once I analyzed all of it thoroughly, then I changed my breakfast. I added protein to my breakfast. Now it's been the same for 9 months. Every day, same one. I just upped the amount of protein. Now it's 16 ounces of Greek non-fat organic yogurt with 6 ounces of fresh pineapple. It was 12 ounces when I was cutting fat. But now I'm trying to build muscle, so now it's 16 ounces for breakfast with 6 ounces exactly measured every single day. Exactly measured every single day with 3 dropperfuls of stevia. every day. Same thing. My girlfriend Jennifer Usner's here. She sent me a text saying, Danny, what do you eat for breakfast? Is it coming to visit? I said, Greek, non-fat, plain yogurt, and fresh pineapple. Guess what was at her house when I arrived there? Exactly what I asked for. I love accuracy. It made me feel loved. My friend Mona, who her and I have been running together for 17 years, we raised our kids alongside each other. She pointed something out to me on Friday that like shocked the crap out of me that I'd never realized. Emeralds love verification. Yes. Verification. It beats documentation and conversation. It beats documentation and conversation. Let me explain. I'll use the example her husband uses. She used her example. She used her husband to have the example basically to hit me over the head with a 2x4. She says, Emerald's like verification. I'm like, really? And she says, yeah, I tell Tom that the wood stove needs more wood. Tom always goes to the wood stove. He looks to verify that it actually, I'm like, oh crap, I do that. Oh my gosh, I drive my family crazy. And she says, and it's not because he doesn't trust me. It's not because he doesn't trust that he doesn't think that I'm lying. I said, no, he needs to go check to see how much wood is necessary before he goes outside. What if he gets a piece of wood that's too big, right, Chris? If he gets a piece of wood that's too big or he gets one that's too small. So he's going to go verify and see exactly how much wood is actually needed before he just goes, okay, Mona, I'll go get the wood. I drive my daughters crazy when I'm cooking with them, all three of them. I drive him crazy. Okay, Erica, can you make sure that you just grab the very tip of the stem of the green bean, just the very tip of it. I don't want any part of the fruit itself. Just grab the very tip. She goes, Mom, did you not raise me? Yes, dear, I did raise you. However, people like to change things up, and just for this particular meal, I just need to make sure that the very stem is just off. Please don't have any more of the green bean off, just the stem of it off. I drive them nuts. And then I come over, and I verify. I verify to make sure it's accurate. So Emeralds like verification a lot. I ask my team to bring me numbers. I look at the numbers, and then I have to verify the numbers to find out exactly where did they pull these numbers from. Did you remember the numbers over here? And what about the numbers over here? And what about this one over here? Verification. Very, very, yes, very, very important verification. It's important. So for you sapphires over there, if you have an emerald in your life and they're verifying, it's not because they don't trust you. It's not because they don't trust you. It's nothing against you. It is the way God wired us is to be verifiers, right? So my sapphire ruby kids would clean the kitchen after dinner and I would go and inspect because we're a team. And if it's going to be done in excellence and diligence, my job is the detailed work. Their job is the main mess part. But my job is to come in and verify all the excellence and diligence part and get every single little crumb out from under the toaster. Because that's important. And, of course, on the floor, in those corners under the cabinets, right, that corner right there that always has hair, right? Okay. Anyway, we're practical, rather orderly, factual. We are definite planners. We tend to lean towards perfectionist. Last night was a lot for us. Very detailed. We can't help it. We see details. We see details that other people cannot see. Why? They were not wired to see them. And people get offended because we can't see them, which is sad. People get offended because we can see the details, and that is what it is. We can't change that offense, but we can certainly change how we communicate the details that we do see. Yeah. Does that make sense? Versus making people feel stupid and idiotic and incomplete because they didn't see the detail. They weren't given the eyes to see the detail. Right. Sapphires are not into details at all. And neither are the pearls. They're not into details. This is the detail department right here. This is our job. Detail, excellence, diligence. That's the work of the emerald, not the work of any other gem in the room. So when we have an expectation on everyone else to have to be detail-oriented, to be excellent and diligent, we're asking a cheetah to not have spots. You know what I'm saying? So we were the ones that were given that assignment. That's our post in life, okay? And the whole point of gems is that we're supposed to work together. Do you understand? So those people over there have tons that we don't have. Tons. Man, they're footloose, they're fancy-free. How many of you wish you were that way? Yeah? Okay. They're not as stressed out as we are. How many of you wish you had that? Right? There's a lot that they have. Their ability to work with people. Thank you. Their ability to work with people that is natural to them. We have to work our butts off to work with people. We have to learn how to work with people. We have to actually concentrate on not ticking people off. Yes. So they are very discerning. Obviously analytical. We ask lots of questions, lots and lots and lots of questions. In fact, there is one three-letter word that we use a lot that puts people on the defense very, very quickly. What is it?
Why?
How did you know that? Yeah, why? Why are you late? Why have you not followed these instructions? Why did you forget to make the post that I asked you to make? Why did you not answer my 17-point email? Why did you choose to only answer 4 of the points and you didn't answer them in an orderly fashion? Why have you missed the deadline now 3.5 times? Why do you insist in challenging me in these instructions? And why? Please tell me why. Do you continuously test my patience in this area? How many of you have asked these questions? What these questions do to people is put them on the defense immediately. It makes sapphires especially feel like they're going to prison. They are in trouble. Usually the minute they are around you, the first question they ask is, am I in trouble? I have a sapphire son. That's what he said. Hey, Roman, am I in trouble? No, he hasn't been in trouble in so long. He hasn't been in trouble in like 10 years. And still the first thing, hey, Roman, am I in trouble? What'd I do? He's not been in trouble for like 10 years and he still thinks he's in trouble. It's terrible. Yes. By the way, we love schedules. We love methods. We love processes. We love routines. We create these things. Naturally, this is just what we do, and we want everyone to follow them. And if people don't follow them, of course, when we ask that question again, which is, why didn't you follow the process? Read the blank manual. I wrote the manual so that you would never have to ask me any questions. I wrote the SOP so that you would never have to ask. So just follow the manual. Okay. So on that note, emeralds tend to be punctual. They're generally the only people in the room that are punctual. Not 100% of the time, but probably more of the time than other people can be. How many of you generally are on time? Okay. Or early? How many of you like to show up early? Yes. And what's interesting is that your opposite gem is not. At all. But check this out. It's so interesting because to us it'd be a really simple problem to solve. Right? You wear a watch, right? But watch this. How many of you sapphires do not wear a watch? Interesting. And out of you sapphires that do not wear a watch, how many of you do actually wear a watch? And those of you that do, how many of the watches that you wear does not work? So we would have to ask ourselves, why in the world would someone wear a watch that does not work? It's because it's not a timepiece. It is an accessory. Okay, it's an accessory. So those of you that have a watch that does work, raise your hands. How many of your watch that does work that you actually wear is set 10 minutes to 30 minutes ahead? And how many of you are still late? So those that actually wear a watch that does work and they've set it 10 minutes to 30 minutes in advance, they're actually trying so hard, probably because they've been condemned by an emerald multiple times. So they're trying so hard to be on time, and yet they're still late. Why? Because they're a sapphire. You're an emerald. You were the one that was given the task of monitoring time. You're the one that has a deep passion and appreciation for timeliness. Because you're the one that's supposed to. Not anybody else in the room is on time like you. And even some of us have a hard time being on time for some certain things. Some things, you're on time all the time. Other things, sometimes you're not on time. But we generally don't have a whole lot of patience with people who are late. And again, we're asking a cheetah to not have spots. We're asking something that was made and designed to be a certain way, not be that way. Which, how many of you think that's not right? It's not right. We have a tendency, by the way, I didn't go through this, but I will now. You all have spiritual gifts. I wrote about it in Spirit-Driven Success. There's two chapters on spiritual gifts, directly out of the best success book ever written. And there's certain personalities that lean towards certain spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift for an emerald would be teaching, wisdom, and discernment. Discernment is one of our gifts because we understand that there's an upside and a downside to everything. And we're not afraid of the downside. It's just facts. There's no emotion attached in the downside. It's not, oh, we see bad statistics, go, oh, man, that's terrible, I shouldn't do it. No, it's that we want to know up front, what are the odds? Up front, what are my chances? Up front, what do I expect? What's the expectation of the bad that can happen? What's the expectation that the good can happen? And we weigh that out. Versus a sapphire that when they hear the bad stuff, they're like, oh, well, forget it then. Maybe I'm not supposed to do it. They get bogged down with the negativity. We don't. We can handle it. That's the way that we were wired. So teaching, again, because of our very instructional, we love instruction, we like to give instruction, and we like things to be precise. So there's a lot of teaching that happens over here. That would be our spiritual gifts. Also, if you were to study the best success book ever written, and you were to study the prophets, you would find that most of them are emeralds. Moses, especially. Emerald. Many of them. And they were very black or white. Jeremiah, emerald, pearl. Very black or white, you know, the way that they spoke. It's like, you are screwing this up. You have failed to follow these laws in the Torah, so you are going to burn. Unless you choose to repent, which means turn and walk in the opposite direction right now, today, right now, come on, today, right now, right now, right now. Turn right now, and then you might be able to have some mercy from God. If you choose not to turn, His wrath is going to come upon you. We are going to be desolate. Everything's going to be wiped out, and it will be your fault. Pretty much almost all of the prophets, not all of them, but almost all of them, that's how they spoke. It was very black or white. You're breaking this law. You're going to suffer the consequences unless you turn. If you don't turn, the wrath is coming upon you. Pick your path. I'm done with you. That's how it is. Okay, so spiritual gifts over with the pearls. They are showers of mercy and service. And they tend to lean towards healing, praying for healing, emotional healing, physical healings. They have a great interest in that direction. Sapphires, their spiritual gift is inspiration and motivation and encouragement. The pot stirrers. And when I get to the rubies, I will tell them what theirs is. Now, emeralds. I think the best way to make it very plain as far as communication with you guys, you know that your weakest part of your personality is communication skills. You do great with other emeralds as long as, you know, you generally don't even have to talk to them. You're in one cubicle, they're in another. You can communicate through email. People don't get offended when an emerald communicates to an emerald. They're not reading into any kind of emotion in there. It's just all instructions, just black and white. It's really simple, very clear, and that's what it is. You send the same email to a sapphire, they need to sign up for a counseling appointment. You send the same email to a ruby, they're like, I ain't got time for this crap. I'm out of here, man. Forget this. This is nonsense. Shut up. Quit talking to me. And they totally feel like they're in trouble also. Like, oh, what did I do? I hurt his feelings. I feel so bad. But it's an emerald to an emerald. It's like clean, clear, and it's thank you for those clear instructions. But if you're not communicating through email to another emerald, you could be in trouble. You could be in trouble, and why? Because language is really, really powerful, and language, each vocabulary has a different meaning for each word. If I say party to an emerald and party to a sapphire, they mean completely different things. Completely different things, right? And if we were, okay, like for example, you're going to Nicaragua, right? So this precious man, his wife, and his two amazing, beautiful children, of which they've raised $500,000 for the homes in Nicaragua for the extreme poor. And I happen to really like his name, Hans. It's a great name. My favorite male name is Hans. But anyway, so Hans and I are going down to Nicaragua, and Hans actually went down to Nicaragua with me, he and his family, in January to see the very dump site that we're helping people to get out of, and the whole new community that's been built, 281 homes that are now built in that area that had no homes. So this precious family had been down to Nicaragua, and they had been in places where no one speaks English, where we cannot communicate to the people. They speak Spanish. Again, it's the poorest of poor in Nicaragua. There's a major communication barrier. So if all of us emeralds were heading into a country that didn't speak your native tongue and you had no knowledge of what the language is, you had no way, you didn't have a GPS with you, you didn't have access to the internet, you didn't have access to your phone, you're going to have a real hard time finding where you're going to stay, where to get food, and where to get a beer because you can't communicate. So you can only do so much with your eyes, your mouth, and your hands trying to point. How many have ever tried to communicate with someone that doesn't speak your language before? It's insanely frustrating. It is. And as much as you think, oh, I can figure it out, no. It's like, oh, like I wish I could say this. I wish I could communicate, but you just can't. And believe it or not, even though you and your family and your coworkers all speak English, y'all really don't. You actually speak your own gem. You see, emerald is its own language. You have a totally different vocabulary, and not only is the vocabulary different, but the meaning of the words are different. And so when you're using your vocabulary to speak to an emerald or a ruby or a pearl, and you think you're being clear in your communication, you're clearly not being clear in your communication because you're not speaking their language. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's going like this. And you're like, wait, how could you not understand me? This is what I said. But it's not what they heard. It's not what was translated. So this is where creating a dynasty is so powerful and so important. Because for three solid days, you begin to learn how to speak the language of each gem that's in the room. And you're in exercises where you have to practice speaking that language so that your tongue now is learning. Just like if you were to learn how to speak Spanish, through time, you'd be able to fluently speak that language and communicate with anyone that understands Spanish. So through time and through creating a dynasty, for in those 3 days that you're going to be learning much deeper about gems, as well as a bunch of other communication skills, you get to practice speaking sapphire. You get to practice speaking ruby to a ruby. You get to practice speaking a pearl to a pearl. So that by the time you leave those 3 days, you've got a general understanding of how to communicate with the other gems that you live with and that you work with so that you clear up all of this miscommunication that happens on a daily basis. In some cases, on an hourly basis, simply because you're speaking what you're speaking, thinking they're hearing you. They're not hearing you because they were not given the same language of you, unless, of course, they're an emerald. If they're an emerald, then it's easy. And you're like, well, shoot, then I'm going to marry an emerald and I'm going to give birth to emeralds. Have fun with that. I'm going to only hire emeralds. Have fun with that. It's impossible. You do not control what comes out of your body. meaning as far as giving birth to. You don't control who your parents are. You don't control who your siblings are. You don't control who you're buying products and services from, right? You don't control any of that. So you have to ask yourself, wait a second, the great designer designed all of us this way? Why didn't he make everyone an emerald? I know you've thought of that. I know you've thought of that. Like, how come he didn't make everyone like me? Well, you'd have to really look at what the root of that question is. The emeralds have a tendency of thinking higher of themselves than they ought. Emeralds, we have some major weaknesses. We really do. And we have some major strengths. And one of our major weaknesses is understanding people. And understanding the differences in those people and what the strengths are that actually cover our weaknesses. And accepting other people's weaknesses and seeing that there's supposed to be a camaraderie between us. What is unity? It's diversity in harmony. Yeah. It's not everybody the same. It's diversity in harmony. So it's learning to communicate in such a way that creates harmony, camaraderie, and things are able to get done in a timely, more efficient, more effective manner. Wow. Without people hating each other and needing counseling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And without you feeling like a failure, because we often have. Right? And it's so frustrating to try to communicate people who don't understand us that we just throw up our hands, do a table flip, and say, forget about it. It's too hard. I'm out. How many of you have done that? Yep. So we carry a lot of frustration because of that. Just stewing inside, blowing our tops because, like, God, how many times? Get this in your head. Master this one skill. And this is what I love about emeralds. Because you're so consistent and you're so diligent, I've had my emeralds turn out to be the best communicators. I started before the starting line as far as communication goes. I was a terrible, terrible, terrible communicator, awful, failing communicator. It's taken me this many years to get here. Has it been worth it? Yes, I would be divorced. My kids would be messed up. Honestly, it's my kids that really forced me to have to learn to practice this stuff. And what got me started was business. So seeing in business all these different personalities and how do I motivate these other personalities to go and do more, to do better in their sales, to be more efficient, to be independent, that they weren't relying on me to be able to provide for themselves. How can we have consistency inside of our organization? I had to learn all that through business. And then when I started giving birth to people that weren't like me, Lord have mercy. I mean, it took an act of God for me not to jack my kids up. Really did. But it really was this right here and learning about who they were and being able to speak their language to them, motivating them according to who they were versus going, why can't you be motivated like me? Why can't you just be consistent and do the same thing every day over and over again at the same time? What's wrong with you? They weren't made to do that. So anyway. Okay, so creating a dynasty. What's the dates? November 10th, 11th, and 12th. It's a long time between now and then. And my encouragement to you would be get your entire family and all your workforce with you here before Dynasty so all of you can go through Dynasty beforehand together. Because you have to be a graduate at First Steps before you can go to Dynasty. So if your entire workforce and your community, the people that all drive you crazy, bring them all here. you'll drive each other crazy less, for sure, because they will understand who you are. And you will understand who they are, that creates harmony already. That clears up a lot of miscommunication. And there's some common ground. But now when you guys all get to go through Dynasty together and come to a higher level of understanding, speaking each one of those languages, I'm telling you, it's just like a hot knife on butter. Just much more smooth and a whole lot less stress. Where's my Emerald Dynasty grads? That's a lot of you. Is what I'm saying true?
Yes.
It changes everything. Changes everything. So do yourself a service. Next First Steps that's coming up, we'll announce it later on tonight. You want to bring your family, your friends, your coworkers, everyone that drives you crazy. Get them here. Which is everybody that's not an emerald. But you also know you have emerald friends who are being driven crazy. Right? Now you know their pain. Okay, time to move on to our rubies. Yes, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Emeralds, I know that you like to observe and watch and research, and I know that you came to the same conclusion that I did, and that is that the rubies have absolutely no rhythm. None. We're the best at rhythm.
We have muscle.
We have muscle. Because that equals rhythm. Nice one, Zahar. Very good. Rubies, and here's why. This is why they, okay, I don't know if you noticed, but when the music went on for the Sapphires, right? These guys were like unified instantly. Why? They're team players. You are not. It is 300 leaders saying, follow me. 300 people all at the same time saying, I'm the head, follow me. I've got the rhythm, follow my rhythm. And the other 299 saying to the first one that stood up going, no, you're off, man. It's like this. And then the third one gets up and says, no, you both are wrong. It's like this. And there were like 10 of them going, you all jacked it up. This is how it is. Follow me. Kind of sounds like D.C. Kind of sounds like our government. Just think on that one for a minute. No, this way. No, this way. So rubies are powerful. Powerful. Rubies are strong. They're determined. They're unstoppable. They were born with an extra dose of confidence. A confidence that nobody else in the room has. Literally, when they were knitted together in their mother's womb, they, you know, everyone got confidence and these guys got more. They don't see a mountain too tall to climb. They don't like being in valleys. They have to be on top. They have to win. Their mind is wired to think in terms of winning. Everything in them is about conquering and winning. Their spiritual gift is leading. You know what's so interesting is that the translators, I love to dig deeper as a researcher that I am. I love to dig deeper and go to like original roots, and I've learned some Hebrew so that I can understand what I'm reading. And the actual word translated for leadership, actually in the spiritual gifts, when it talks about in Romans and also in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about spiritual gifts, it said administrate. How freaking boring, right? He who has a gift to administrate, let him administrate. That is not the correct translation of the word that is there. Same with the book of Judges. It's, judge is not the correct translation there. That word is rulership and rulers. So it's not administration. It's not even leadership. It's ruler. So each one of those judges, Deborah being one of them, was the ruler of Israel at that time. Same with Samson, a ruler at that time. There were many of them through the book of Judges. But they weren't judges. When we think of a judge, what do we think of? We think of the black robe and the gavel, right? Somebody that's deciding cases. That's not at all what that book is about. The correct translation is rulers. And the correct word translation in the New Testament for administrate is actually rulership. So that's a post, that's a position. Do you understand? And ruling versus leadership has a whole different meaning. Very different meaning. A higher level of responsibility as well. A much higher level of responsibility. See, there's lots of people can lead, but when you're ruling, ooh, that's a bit bigger. And a whole lot more responsibility to the people that you are actually leading. Yeah. Leadership is lower. Rulership is higher. They're very competitive. I got to go back to rulership. With rulership, it demands raising up leaders. Because a ruler doesn't rule by themselves. But leaders often lead by themselves. But rulers have various different levels of leadership that's been risen up amongst their ranks that govern specific tasks, duties, and territory. And there are people that are fully trusted in those territories to govern those particular places versus just a leader of a company. He's just leading his company. Doesn't matter if he chooses to raise up other leadership or not. Most low-level leaders choose never to raise up other leaders. They choose never to duplicate because they like being at the top themselves. That top is not the top. It's like midway. But rulership requires the development of other leadership. It's a much bigger picture. Do you know what I mean? Than just leading a company. So like rulership is ruling a community. Do you understand? It's like much bigger than just your business, much bigger than just your household. Do you understand? So the calling on a Ruby is rulership, which has a much broader responsibility. Much, much broader responsibility. They are quick decision makers. They don't have a hard time with making decisions. If anything, they have to probably learn to take a step back before they make those quick decisions and go, okay, probably should think this one through a little bit. And I think as we get older, we tend to do that. We kind of, all right, let me kind of evaluate at least for 5 minutes whether or not I should do this versus making a 30-second decision. 1 minute. Yeah, just 1 minute. I'll just give it one. They're very adventurous. A lot of the athletes in this area, you know, not just football, not just soccer, but it has to be like the higher level stuff. And some of them even gotten involved with extreme sports, right? Because it's like death defying and, you know, the highest level of risk. I told you that sapphires are risky. Well, the rubies take risk to a whole nother level. They can actually even become risk junkies. They love adrenaline. They like when their heart is pumping, and there's a chance of failing. They like that. Very strong-willed. You tell them they can't, and they will prove to you they already did. They're very independent and self-reliant, which is an incredible asset. It's also a liability. They have a tendency of relying on themselves a little too much. And again, remember rulership versus leadership. Leaders tend to rely on themselves. Rulership cannot just rely on themselves. They are very persistent, almost to a fault. They won't quit. Quitting just cannot be an option. And they won't play if they can't win. And if they can't win, the game is stupid. It's like dumb. Why would I ever want to play that? I don't want to be involved with that. That's stupid. So they are a let's do it now people. In fact, it's not only let's do it now, it's yesterday would be good. Yesterday would be good. Patience is not their strength. They don't like being patient. They don't want to be patient. They just want to roll. And roll fast. This extra dose of confidence that they have, these people are involved with a lot of things. You know, the PTA president, they're involved in the community. They have multiple businesses, many of them. You know, once they've got their first business up and rolling and it's profitable, I'm ready for the next one, I'm ready for the next one, I'm ready for the next one. How many of you have done this? Sort of very, very enterprising. You know, they get bored really quick with just the one business. Thank you. They get bored really super quick with the one business, so they've got to, you know, continue to start more and more things because they, again, they love the adrenaline. They love getting something off the ground. They love the startup of something and getting it to the place of success. It's like, oh, it's not fun anymore. It's too easy. So when something's easy for them, they're not thriving. Yeah. If it's easy, they're not thriving. They're not alive. A comfort zone is absolutely a Ruby's danger zone. This is where they'll get themselves in trouble, is when they're comfortable. They begin to die, actually. Something inside of them begins to die. And they're very goal-oriented. If they do not have a goal, a task that, you know, is climbing some kind of a mountain financially or whatever, then there's something that just begins to go to sleep inside of them. And they actually... Because they sign up for so many different things, I'm not saying sign up, meaning they, you know, start all different types of businesses, or they, you know, if the school board needs a president, sign up to be the school board president. Just whatever is leadership, a business, and available, I'm it, right? So because they have all that confidence and they can do all these things, because they really can, they're incredibly talented people. And they're great problem solvers, and they're quick to get things done. There's nobody that can get things done faster than this group of people. I mean, absolutely nobody. These people make great project managers also, awesome ones, and they're super dependable. So you put something in their hands, it's going to happen. And even if it takes them till 3 o'clock in the morning, they're going to make sure that it actually gets done. And by the way, they can sleep when they're
dead.
Yeah. Which creates some other problems. This can create some other problems. Again, that extra dose of confidence, and they're self-reliant, and they're independent, and they're quick decision makers. Pretty much is a perfect formula for burnout. Yeah, it's a perfect formula for a nervous breakdown or burning out, which they tend to have their production go bam, balls to the wall, and then crash. How many of you have done this? Yes. So the, you know, balls to the wall, the crash, the nervous breakdowns, all that stuff, and also relationships get strained, that when there's a big catastrophe of a problem, they have a tendency of fixing it with hours instead of fixing it with people. They fix it with hours. So this is when they're going to put more hours in. I'm going to give you a prime example. When I was 24, I had a heart attack, and when I was 25, I had a nervous breakdown. Tried to kill myself. My husband saved my life. He's a martial artist, thank God. And he restrained me from a cleaver and a chef knife. And my 4-year-old daughter walked in as Hans is on top of me, restraining me with my hands on the ground with these two knives as I'm literally trying to gut myself. Why? Why? How did I get there? I was working 100 hours a week. I had two companies that I was building. And I had gotten embezzled a couple of years before, so I was trying to save the company, and I was trying to really save face. Here I had had all this success. Remember, I had made my first million. I'd actually made a couple million by then, and we had all this huge success. I built a company in 11 months to $5 million in revenue. You know, everything was going great, and then, bam, the rug just got pulled out from under me, so I swallowed stupid. But mind you, I built those two companies part-time. Built both of those part-time. I refused to be owned by them. I refused to have time away from my family, and on part-time hours, I built both those companies until the rug got pulled out from under me, and for some reason, I swallowed a stupid pill, and I decided to put a lot of hours in. I went from not even 20 hours a month to 100 hours a week, and 100 hours a week meant that Hans and I were not together. We were not spending any time together. We were fighting constantly. I didn't see my kids. When I left in the morning, the kids were asleep. When I came home at night, the kids were asleep. I had a day and a half off a week, maybe, and still was working. Do you know what I mean? I still had work on my head. And then, of course, I had laundry and all this other kind of crap that I had to do and just the busyness of home. So Hans and I were just in a really hateful, bad place and couldn't figure it out. In my head, I married the wrong person. I screwed up the whole marriage thing again. Why did I do that? You know, he was young. He was broke. You know, he had 20 words in his vocabulary. What the was I thinking? How did I do this? I'm not going to be divorced a second time. Like, all of this stuff is going through my head. And I really just thought that I married the wrong person. He was too young. He wasn't established. He didn't know how to make money. This is what was going through my head, right? Justifying all of it. And again, I'm tearing him up with my mouth. Right? Why was I writing him letters? Because I was working 100 hours a week. I wasn't going to talk to him. So I wrote him nasty letters. So with a nervous breakdown and a heart attack, trying to take my own life, I had somebody hit me square in the eyes about why my life had come there. And it was because my priorities were jacked and my time management was jacked. And because my business owned me, I worshiped that business. I worshiped money. I was chasing money. My entire identity was wrapped up in my gross sales. My entire, everything of who I was that defined me was money and success in business. So my relationships suffered, and everything I ever wanted to be was a mom. That's it. All I ever wanted to be was a mom. And here I'm, this business person who's 25 and stressed out trying to take my own life because I thoroughly convinced myself that my children would be better off without me and that Hans would be better off without me. I'm not going to ask how many of you have thought the same thing. I know there are many of you who have thought the same thing. So I got cold cocked upside the head one day where somebody had told me that there was nothing I could do to be able to recruit him into what I was doing. And I'm like, trust me, dude, I got a 90% closing ratio. You're done. He's like, no, you have nothing I want. Your life sucks. I can tell you and your husband hate each other. You never see your kids. You probably haven't had vacation in years. What do you have that I want? What you're selling is a crappy life. Like, I started bawling. Like, how did you know that? What do you recommend? And he says, you need to hire someone to teach you how to manage your time. Shifted my priorities, cut my hours down to 20 hours a week. Tripled my income. I was wasting 80 hours a week thinking I was solving problems. And that's typically what we do. When there's a problem, we throw hours at it. We throw hours of money at it. Pulls us and sucks us into bigger, worse problems, as mine did. So my business was a problem, but now my marriage was a problem, and now I was creating problems with my kids. Neglecting my kids, something I didn't want to do, something my parents did with me. And here I was doing the very same thing, so which was wrong. So time management is a definite thing that rubies should learn how to do. If you've burnt out, and by the way, it's not just rubies. Everybody else in the room who has burnt out or had a nervous breakdown? There you go. Lots of people. Okay, so you're not the only one. But the most confident people in the room deal with depression. How many of you have battled depression? Isn't that crazy? The most confident people in the room can feel like the lowest of lows. And it's simply because a mismanagement of priorities. That's all. It's a mismanagement of priorities. When you make work and money your highest priority, it will beat the snot out of you. It will control your life. It will suck the life out of you. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your kids. It'll destroy your health. How many of you have had health problems due to too much work? Okay, if there was a study on heart attacks, I would put money on the fact that rubies would probably be the ones that suffer from heart attacks because of stress. That's like high stress leads to a heart attack and or a stroke. Heart attack or stroke, that's usually what it is. So for the sake of your health, my friends, and the sake of your family, the sake of your marriage, learning how to adjust your priorities and live according to what those are is actually going to pull the best out of you. You heard Patrick Clunan earlier talking about him basically adjusting those things in his life and the impact that had on his life. It's very, very easy for driven people to make the wrong things driving them and use those wrong things driving other people as well. But when you step back and you start to adjust and you decide, what is success personally to me? What is my personal definition of it? And how can I achieve that? Versus you guys are the easiest people in the room to manipulate. You are. You have a price tag on your head. Wherever it is that there's more money, you'll work towards it and sacrifice other things to go after it. Yeah. So it means you're easy to manipulate. Two things that are easy to manipulate you with: position, prominence. So it's money and title. Those two things. So if you've got the bigger, better business, you are so easy to be led by the nose. Come over here. Come over here. You can be driven to do anything. How do I know this? I've lived it. There was a season in my life where there was a price tag on my head. I could be bought. I could be paid to do anything, just about anything. And generally, rubies will do anything for money. Doesn't matter what it is, we'll do anything for money. So anyway, so you have a lot of intense strengths. I mean a ton of them. right? There's nobody better than you. There's nobody better at getting tests done than you. There's nobody faster than you. You're great problem solvers. You come up with the quickest, fastest solution. It's the best solution. You sell everybody on that best solution. If that solution doesn't quite work, you never admit that it doesn't work. You just say it's time in this solution to move a little bit to the left. It's just a slight pivot. This was intentional. It was in the back of my mind. There is a method to my madness. I know exactly where we're doing, and we're right on task. We're right on track, exactly where we're supposed to be. Because A, you hate admitting if you're come on, you can say it. Come on, you can do wrong. Come on, you can get it out. Wrong. And you need come on, you can say it. You can do it. I believe in you. Help. Right? These are two things. They can't admit that they're wrong, and they hate asking for help. Again, which is why they're so self-reliant and why they end up burning out and blowing up their life. So humility would be a really good thing to practice. Humility, accountability. There is, let me ask you a question. How many of you are athletes? Okay, out of you athletes, how many of you had a season where you had an amazing coach? And that coach literally made you puke, right? Did you hate the coach? Yes, you hated that coach. You didn't want to get out of bed. In fact, you couldn't get out of bed. I remember one year my mom had to roll me on the floor because I couldn't move. It was during conditioning for volleyball, and I was in the best team in the state of California. Woke up after the first day after freaking running bleachers for 2 hours, feeling like I'm going to pass out. And I wake up, I'm like, help! I couldn't move. There was no part of my body that I literally could move. So my mom literally came over and threw me off the twin bed. So I went on my face and had to get myself up off the floor and somehow go run bleachers again. I freaking hated that hippie coach. And a big old fro. He just hated him. But, man, that guy got my vertical jump so high. So high. I mean, I can't. The pictures I have of me spiking, literally, my jump is up past my knees. This is awesome. I can just see right over that net versus my hand just hitting over the net. So the best performance comes when you're pushed the hardest. The sad thing is that most rubies get themselves in a comfort zone of no longer being pushed, no longer having any accountability, and certainly not having a coach. And why? Because they generally compete with everyone that's around them that's mediocre. And when they're competing around others that are mediocre, they are on top. So therefore, they're just a little bit better than their friends and their peers and the people that are around them. So they feel pretty good about themselves, but they are absolutely not having the best pulled out of them. They haven't yet played their very best game simply because I'm self-reliant, I'm independent, and I'm focused that I can do it all on my own. And I do not want to submit. Come on, we can say submit. Let's say all three words together. Wrong, submit, and help. Which all require humility. And humility is the game changer. It really is. Humility is the game changer. That is the thing that's going to pull the... Really? That's if you want to play your best game. If you're totally satisfied with mediocrity, that's okay. It is okay to settle into average. It really is okay. I mean, it is. It is okay. I mean, it's totally fine. No, it's all good. Come on. You've done a good job with it. You've mastered it really well. Just, you know. Yeah, totally relying on yourself and being independent and not needing anybody. You know, and you're better than some of your friends. Your house is bigger. Your car's nicer. So is your dad. But, you know, it's all good, you know. It's okay. I mean, you like to be on top. On top of mediocrity is, you know, still on top. I mean, you know, it's 98%. But at least you're at the top of the 98%. I mean, that... You know, it's all right, right? It's all good. Let me help you with that, Sahar. Seriously. So rulership is training up other leadership. And leadership development, at least in my 28 years experience, which is just a small amount of experience, honestly. I mean, yeah, I've worked with tens of thousands of people, but my experience is so small in the grand scope of things for as far as leadership goes. I mean, I'm tiny. I'm super tiny. I'm a pimple on someone's butt in all reality. I am really small. The kids are in here just now. Wow. That was funny, huh? You gotta take that one home to your parents. Anyway, it's good for me to realize that, too. It's really healthy to realize that I'm just a tiny little speck on somebody's backside. But nonetheless, in my little tiny scope of 28 years of experience of working with people and developing people, and I've had tons of people that I've raised up right here in these events that have gone and surpassed me. Their influence has surpassed mine. Their success has surpassed mine. It's really beautiful to watch people become more successful than you. In the beginning, many years ago, I didn't like it that much, but I love it now. I'm kind of addicted to it. I love seeing people fly and exceed and be all that they were called to be. Now, but in my tiny little bit of experience, I can tell you that I was developed through events. See, I venture to side on the side with Vince Lombardi that leaders are not found, they're developed. And leadership I have found and how we've developed leadership in my company that has allowed me to work about 5 hours a month for the last almost three years. So it's July right now. So August will be 3 years that I've worked an average of 5 hours a month. I'm coming back to work. Actually, last month I worked more than 5 hours. It's a big deal. I have to ask Jen. I think it was like 15 maybe. It's a big deal. It is, yeah. I've been traveling a lot of family stuff that I'm doing. But how many of you would like to get a business to that place to where, okay, and I have 25 employees, and I've got $10 million that I'm responsible for yearly. And we've managed to be able to manage all that on, again, nothing's falling apart. Everything's going. It's growing. We're more profitable than we were even 3 years ago, which is pretty awesome, again, with me not being around. So average about 5 hours a month. That's pretty cool. How do you develop that kind of leadership to get there? How many of you would like to get there? Okay. You can do what I've done or you can choose a different path, but we've used First Steps to Success, the training materials that we teach. Our people study it every single day. My entire staff, it's playing in our office all day, every day. Our team studies this. They're at these events. Our team's here at these events. And all shooting into creating a dynasty, because that's really where the leadership is developed. And what you'll find when you bring your people or your family, you'll find that you'll get less questions, there'll be less whining, there'll be less dependability on you, which you hate. You hate people being dependent on you. So you want to raise up independent people, you want an independent sales force, or you want an independent staff, you want an independent church that really can solve problems on their own. They know how to motivate people on their own, they know how to solve people problems, they know how to be more efficient, more effective, they know how to cut costs, they know how to save time. That all happens at creating a dynasty and First Step Success. So I, for 26 years, have brought people through these events, and that's how I've built the small, you know, businesses that we've built of managing, you know, $10 million, which is really not that much in the grand scope of things. When we get to $100 million, that will be another story between everything that we do. And that's the goal, 20-year goal by the time I'm, anyway. Still alive, but closer to dead. then, you know, we'll get to, and we want to impact 100 million lives. That's the bottom line. We want to bring impact on 100 million lives. We want to change families all over the world. And we're not going to do that alone. We're going to do that with the help of all of us here in the room. So anyway, that's your choice. And now I know that, you know, you might not have the qualifications of the kind of person that we're looking to link up arms with. I mean, you may or you may not, but I understand the ruby that's in you that is just going to take charge and go do it on your own and find another way that you think might work faster. And that's okay. You've been on that path for a really long time. But if mediocrity and average and being on top of mediocre and average is just not quite good enough for you, then I would highly recommend that you join me at the next First Steps with a lot of people along with you, the people that you would like to raise up as you're ruling, to raise up that leadership to where you can be working a whole lot less, solving less problems, and you're now proud of the people that you're actually working with versus having to lead and motivate and train and develop all the time. But these people are able to stand on their own 2 feet and be able to run right alongside you as a team so that you can get people to creating a dynasty. And by the way, creating a dynasty, November what? I know you're probably busy and you've got a lot going on, and that, you know, being on top of mediocre and average is A-okay with you. But if there is the event that there's about 4 or 5 of you that on top of mediocrity is not quite where you want to be, but that you're actually looking to pull the very best out of yourself, the very best out of the people that you're working with, and that you're tired of, you know, dealing with average and mediocre people also, then I will see you in November at Creating a Dynasty. Gotcha? All right. I mean, it may or may not be for you. It's totally your call. I'm sure you got a lot going on, and you know, it's just 4 or 5 of you that I'm pretty sure are going to step up to that plate and hit it right out of the park and be the next story on that stage that's shocking everybody. And they will sit there and go, I sat next to that guy in Cleveland. He just kicked my butt. Yeah. It's usually how that goes. Anyway, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to think about being there, all of you. There is not a gem in this room that shouldn't be at that event, and that's especially if you want to close 2017 so strong, with less stresses, less problems to solve, more money, more time to do the things that you actually want to do. Just think about it. When we break for lunch, I want you to just ponder, what if I actually did? What if I found the money to go? Let's say it costs $5,000. Let's say the entrance fee into the event is $5,000. You're like, I've never paid $5,000 for something. There's people in this room that's paid $25,000 for a 2-day event. Many of you that paid hundreds of thousands for your college education, some of you using it, some of you not using it. It's value. Let me ask you this. How many of you feel like you got far more out of this event than what you paid to get in it? Okay. How many of you would have paid double based on the value that you've gotten out of it? How many of you think it's worth double than what you paid? So you know that we have a fair price and we over-deliver on value. So far, we're not even done. We haven't even gotten the financing. We're halfway done with the event. We have a whole nother day and a half still left to go. Today, the rest of the afternoon, we're going to talk about money, places that you already have the money actually to go to creating a dynasty, even if it was $5,000. So what do you think? It's $5,000. You're going to have to fly to San Antonio or drive to San Antonio, whatever. And I want you to think, what would happen to your life if you did? And what would happen to your life if you don't? Just think about that at lunch. Just ponder that. How much longer do you want to deal with where you're at? How much quicker do you want to go to where you want to go to? How much more fun do you want to add to your life? How many more people do you want to be able to help and reduce your stress and theirs? I don't even have to talk to you. You know you need to be there. You all so know you need to be there. But think about it, all right? It's 3 days. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a very powerful experience. It makes First Step success look like kindergarten. It really does. It's like going to college versus kindergarten. We've got 5 months for you to be able to make a huge impact on those that are around you. Your production's going to go up, all depending on the amount of people that you have with you. That's your call. So we're going to break for lunch, but first I need a list of names. Mona, Jen, there's a group of people, huh? It's Raven. Ray Ray. Ray Ray. This is our staff sapphire. Can you tell? They're going to meet with you? At the who? The black curtain. So there's a black curtain back there? Right over there? I can't see the black curtain. Okay. So, wow. Can I get Trish Ronan, Chip and Kathy Cowie, Chad and Summer Tucker, Lauren Bretz, and Sarah Harnish to meet back there? These people are going to be escorted to my room. We're having some sandwiches together and salads together, but we're going to have some time one-on-one together. because these people were the best promoters in the room. These people have like vision as us, wanting to impact families from all over the globe. So they got the emails about whoever brought the most amount of people, brand new people attending for the first time, that they would be invited and ushered into lunch with us. So we're going to take an hour and a half break for lunch. So look at your watch. It's exactly 11 minutes after 12 and 10 seconds. So it's 11 minutes after 12. We're going to say this. So 1 hour makes it 11. Let's just call it 10. 10 minutes after 1, right? So you're going to be back here at 1:40. Okay? Be back here at 1:40. Do not be late. You do not want to miss an ounce of the content about money.